You want to get more, huh?
No, that's good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
You positive?
Yeah, I'm really caffeine-y. All right, go.
I'm coconutty.
Are we live?
Yeah.
The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by The Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net, click on the link for The Fleshlight, and enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Shazam! And we have all used it. We all give it thumbs up. Joey Diaz, you never used it, though, did you?
Nah, just the hand.
Just the hand.
The hand and my little finger. That's it.
We were also brought to you by Onnit.com, makers of Alpha Brain, Onnit.com. Enter in the code name Rogan, and you will get 10% off that. Alpha Brain is a cognitive enhancer. If you don't believe it, that's okay. Just don't get mad at me. And if you think it's too expensive, please buy the ingredients separately and enjoy.
You know, I was actually looking at that. I was looking at all the ingredients, seeing if I could rebuild it and stuff. And there were so many levels of all the ingredients that I was talking to Aubrey about it, and he bought, like, the best kind of ingredients to put in it. So, like, if you want to get one of the components in it, you could get it pretty cheap. So there is going to be a cheap version of, like, a lot of these ingredients and stuff like that. But he definitely uses – because he definitely uses a higher quality.
He uses the best quality you can get, but you can do it cheaper. So if you want to do it cheaper and avoid all this stuff, just stop yelling at
How
me.
How much are they anyway? Okay.
I think it's $30 a bottle.
And that's with –
it's like $1 a pill.
With the discount, what do I get?
No, 5%. I can't do the math. It's like $3 off, okay. Something like that.
So if they press in the code, they get that?
Yeah.
No, okay. It's not a bad fucking deal.
Dude, I believe in this shit. It works.
But you know what? If you're broke, fucking weed for weed.
If you're broke, I get it, man. It's no big deal.
Cut your weed intake in half and buy the fucking pills. Look, at $30 a pop for a month, it's pennies a week. Really, yeah. It's you know, that's what you break it down to. It's a dollar a day. I mean, if you really think about it.
If you have disposable income, it's all about what do you use it for. And, you know, for me, health and my overall sense of wellness and my ability to communicate, that's the most important shit to me. I need vitamins and good diet are like primary. That's like one of the most important things you can have. That's the things that I spend money on.
And good masturbation.
And good masturbation.
That's right.
For the Fleshlight. Is that you bringing it all back around?
Yeah, bringing it back.
Bringing it all back around.
Call back.
Joe Diaz is here.
I'm excited.
Let's light the fire. Get this bitch rolling.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night. All day.
That was the highlight of my month.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was the highlight of my month.
I've actually listened to that so much in the last 24 hours that I'm thinking about making a ringtone, but...
Oh, it's a good ringtone. Yeah. You know, the perfect thing about it, too, is that it wasn't perfect. Yeah, you know, it didn't even make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, because when he says... Also, when he says night or day or something like that,
you have your phone next to the shit? Yeah. You do, son. Why are you pointing at Joey?
No, I was checking around. I was checking around, doing the circle.
Yeah, well, it's train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Yeah, the night part he almost says like die or day or something like that.
It's perfect.
It's confused.
It's perfect. It's Nick good. Diaz is awesome. Holy shit, what a fucking fight that was. God damn, Joe Diaz.
I was fucking fired up. And I wanted to cry. Rogan gave me a cookie he had, and I ate it before the fight. And by the time Chuck Congo fought Mitrione, I was fucked up. Like, you know, when you sit and over in that section, those lights hit you. I don't know if they ever affect you by mistake. They usually put, like, these orange, red kind of lights, blue lights.
Mm-hmm.
And that cookie made those lights. Like, I couldn't even see the fucking fight. I'm like, get this beam of light out of my eyeballs.
Really?
And then by the time... BJ. When BJ came out throwing heat, listen, it was too close of a fight for anybody to call. My heart was too involved with BJ. I really liked the hell out of BJ.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to really call it. And when I was watching BJ come out, I just wanted a decent fight, you know?
Right.
And Jesus fucking Christ.
Jesus fucking Christ. What a fight. Holy shit. Nick Diaz looked good, man. God damn, did he look good. That's the best performance I think anyone has ever had against BJ. No one has ever looked that good against BJ. I mean, he just boxed him up, standing up, man. Just boxed him up. And the pace that Nick Diaz makes you run with him. He makes you run at his pace, you know, and his endurance is just on some wicked level, man. And he forces this pace and fights guys, you know, using sharp boxing where he doesn't hit you with full blast shots. You know, like, he sort of 50%s you, 50%s you up until, like, the second and third round. Then he starts digging those hooks to the body, and he's so effective, man. He's so effective.
It's really weird to watch. It was a great fucking fight. And like I said, I like going to UFC to see fights.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan, but I also want to see a fucking...
I
want to see some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And then they just announced my other man, Donald Cerrone, against Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
For Super Bowl weekend also. Yeah. That's a fucking... Ooh. I mean, Donald Cerrone and I loved him. I've always loved him as a human being, as a fighter. But the other night... He came out looking good like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
He was like Superfly in 73. He was just smooth. He just looked good. And he came out. And,
well, you know what it is?
Thank you very much for taking me.
Thank you for coming, man. You were the life of the party. I talked to Greg Jackson about it. He said that he's never been more disciplined. That's what it is. He's just constantly training, constantly in the gym, just working harder than he's ever worked before. He realizes, I think, that he's knocking on the door right now. He's like right there. I mean, he's at the elite of the elite. You know, this knockout of Seaver, the way he put Seaver out, dude. Woo! That was big, dude.
It was beautiful.
That was big. Too. The fact that he did that to Seaver. I mean, Seaver's a dangerous guy, man. Look what Seaver did to Andre Winner. Look at that turning sidekick he landed on Nate Moore and sent him flying across the room. He's a beast, man. He's no joke. And Donald Cerrone just ran through him. And to have done that right after he did the same to Charles Oliveira, Cerrone's a monster, man. He's fun. And he's a cowboy. He's a fucking character, man. He's a real legit cowboy, man. He wears cowboy boots and shit. He's got a hat, rides bulls. He doesn't even fuck around, man. So he lives on a ranch, man. You know, like I was saying, like when they were calling him Cowboy Cerrone when he was about to step in the octagon. I'm like, well, this isn't a joke. This guy lives on a ranch, okay? He's got his own ranch. These are real cowboy boots because he wears them. And that's a real fucking cowboy hat. He's a beast.
Now, I seen something on Twitter earlier. Are they giving Condit Ellenberger or somebody else in the meantime?
I don't know.
What if it was just a ranch-style house? You know, what if it was on a real ranch and this whole time you just misheard it? And then you like go to his house and you're like, he just bought some cowboy points and he has a one-story house.
The other end of Vegas, which you really fucking missed, and I came home and actually watched it, was the Bull Riding Association finals were there.
Yeah.
So there were cowboys everywhere. Do you understand me? The hats, the shit kickers. And, you know, I was telling Joe, yeah, you know, sometimes I misquote my words. You know, I don't hate fucking anybody. I just hate people who, like, think they're better than you are. Snobby people, a.k.a. WASP. You know who my heart is? The South.
Yeah.
Let's get down to it. When I fucking came to this country, I was a little kid. When I seen a cowboy hat and a gun, are you fucking kidding me? You know what you feel like when you see that? We all wanted to be cowboys. That's what we first fucking dressed as for our first Halloween. Somewhere along the line, and all three of us, we were a cowboy for a day. You know what I'm saying? And we all giggled. Think, oh, you would never play the fucking cowboy. I bet you did. With the girl next door, you tied her up. Yeah. You dirty fucking bastard. But
Brian wasn't even an Indian. He was the boy that worked in the shop. That's what he played. Everybody else played cowboys. Indian.
No, I played Indian. Did you? Trustless, usually.
There's a lot of people that want to be rebels. They played Indians.
I played Indian after I seen Charles Bronson in the one movie when he played in Chatto's Land. He plays an Indian. He threw the fucking spear. I started throwing fucking sticks outside, those stick balls.
Yeah, Charles Bronson could pull off Indian easy, right?
Well, in the 60s, they just let you do whatever the fuck you wanted to. I mean, Anthony Quinn's a Mexican. He played fucking Irish. How fucked up is that? Anthony Quinn is really Mexican, a great actor. And he played everything. Well, he played a Mexican in that one black and white movie, but...
What was that movie that he played with Kevin Costner? Do you remember that movie with Kevin Costner? Where Kevin Costner was in love with his wife?
Revenge!
Yes.
One of the greatest beatings ever. Forget Anderson Silva kicking what's his name in the face. The guy fucks his wife, who's the crazy chick, who's no longer like a hot actress. She was very hot at that time.
Who is she?
Anthony Quinn was a Mexican drug fucking savage who was 50.
Madeline Stowe?
Madeline Stowe. No Viagra. Revenge was like 87. There was no Viagra.
Yeah.
And he was just banging. And this chick wanted to keep getting banged. And he came in, broke his legs, slashed his face, put her in a fucking brothel, shot her with fucking coke. Yeah. I mean, Anthony Quinn didn't fuck around in Revenge.
That was a scary movie, man.
Oh, did you watch anything scary yesterday? I tell you what I got caught up in yesterday from the beginning.
What?
I got caught up in the motherfucking Exorcist yesterday. And to watch the, you know what? Everybody talks about Friday the 13th. I forgot. Because all you think about is this movie about a kid getting possessed. It is so fucking deep. The cinematography, when the priest comes, not Jackie. You know that's Jackie Gleason's son-in-law. Demi, why you do this to me?
Really?
That's Jason Patrick's motherfucking father. That really? Greek dude. That dude never even did another movie. He just did that, that priest. The boxer.
Really?
Remember? Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. He never, that guy didn't do that many movies.
Fucking beautiful, that he motherfucker. Was really when he showed up. Yeah, he was really fucking.
That's kind of crazy. He was so good in that movie, and he never did another movie.
Did that movie win anything? Can you click on it? Did it win anything? Because if it didn't, I'm going to blow up a fucking studio. I'm going to blow up one of these fucking jerk-offs. Let me tell you something. That movie took me. This girl was 12 years old. There's one when she tells him, your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Yeah.
You can't write that shit.
Yeah.
She takes the cross, she's sticking her monkey, then she takes the mother, puts her head down there and says, suck me. In her contract, they should have said, listen, we're going to give you $50,000 a year for psychological abuse.
Yeah.
It was 1970. Yeah. This kid was saying those words.
What do you think that did to her? Because she was a freak after
made
that
made her suck
movie, right?
Rick James' dick. She went right to Buffalo one way. She was only 17. It was something. There's another scene in there where
she's shoving the cross in. It's making noise like it's cutting into meat. Like
it is. You know they shot that in a fucking freezer.
So that they
I didn't know that
breathe like that. Her breath.
The breath was like that.
Wow, that makes sense.
What a fucking amazing. I was sitting there going,
that movie was.
I gotta save this for the podcast because again, back to the fucking 70s. Back to the fucking 70s, and it didn't mind fuck you like a hand coming out of a wall. It mind fuck you slowly.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have the special effects, so they had to do it with writing, and they had to do it with the way they shot things. You know, their special effects, I mean, she just had a little makeup on her face. It's really not that bad. Today, it wouldn't really fly.
Do you remember that song?
Yeah, sure.
It's the creepiest.
Yeah.
Fuck, when he gets out of the cab.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And all of a sudden, she opens that door, and it's just fog behind him.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest fucking shots. If that motherfucker was at my house, I think I'd just slam the door on his
face. The movie's badass. How's it done in the beginning? They find like a talisman or something like that?
He's
a little statue?
Egypt, which why I always believe, that's why I've always thought there's so much fucking bad luck in Africa. Because the devil, that's the devil's house. That's the devil's house in Africa.
Egypt is
what
the devil's
house?
What
about that scene when he sees the devil statue and he looks and it's two dogs fighting? Oh, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Two wild dogs in the sand. And all of a sudden he is, and the guy comes out, pops out with the shotgun like in an Arab suit. He's in an Arab fucking country.
Yeah.
When he finds that thing.
Yeah.
But then when he goes to her house, there's one part where, Demi, why you do this to me? You're not my fucking mother. And he's just oh my God. He has to leave the room and she fucking pukes that green soup in his fucking eye. Just brilliant.
And when back then, you have to think, there was nothing like this before this movie. Nothing. Like they had those old Wolfman movies. And, you know, but they were so stupid. I mean, they were fun, but they were nothing like The Exorcist, man. The Exorcist had taken it to a deep, deep psychological level. That movie scared the fuck out of a lot of people. A
lot of people. And then they reduxed it. Like, they did it with her walking down the stairs in a fucking,
backwards, you know,
omoplata.
It looked stupid.
She walked on her own omoplata. Yeah, that was
terrible.
They
ruined it. They ruined it. But that took away from what the whole movie was about.
Those were, like, the scenes they cut out, which they cut them out for a fucking reason.
Yeah.
Because it sucked. It's like when people go, oh, my God, they just re-released Prince's unreleased thing. He didn't release them because they sucked. You know what I'm saying? This is for his ranch next to Donald Cerrone, you dumb fuck.
There's hits and misses.
Yeah.
You got to accept that.
Yeah, no. You don't know.
Yeah, that movie was a fucking classic. That's one of
those
movies.
Very strong movie.
They just did it so well. It was so well done in every way. There's a few movies like that where you go back and you watch them and you go, God damn, they just nailed this shit.
And everybody was a superb actor. Like, they set you up for it.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people forget that there was a party at a house and there was a fight between a Jewish guy and a German. The German, and he kept saying, fucking Nazis. Then they got into a misunderstanding. So when she first started getting sick, she leaves the mother. When she comes back, the director got found in the bottom of the steps with his head twisted all the way around.
Yeah.
They set you the fuck up.
Yeah.
The cop comes over, he interviews him, what happened, you know, and then like, you know, now you're thinking maybe the girl killed the fucking guy.
Right.
Remember she went downstairs and peed when they were playing the piano?
Yeah, she goes to the astronaut, you're going to die up there, mister, and then pisses in the ground.
Just shit that you can't even, like, a little girl with that cute little face.
Whoa.
At the end, look, no, you're getting it tonight. You have to put it, when she comes out at the end and the priest comes up and the father goes to her, does she remember anything? And the mother goes, no, she doesn't remember a goddamn thing. And all of a sudden, she gets in the car, she comes out and hugs him and kisses him. That scene will fucking kill you. It'll fucking kill you. It's such a great little fucking dirty scene. Anyway, I don't know what I said.
You guys remember that movie House from like 1986?
House? So, a horror movie?
Yeah, it was a horror movie, and the dude from Cheers was in it, George Wint or whatever, William Catt. And
God, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Never mind then.
I've never been a big spooky guy. I mean, listen, A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first couple of those were off the fucking...
They were okay.
When I first watched them, I'm not a horror guy. You know, I'm not a big horror guy. So I get scared. I can't fucking sleep at night. Like yesterday, I watched that. I watched Dexter. And there was something else. I can't fucking sleep at night with all that horror in my life.
That's all I want. I don't want Dexter. I don't want like serial killer type horror. I don't want like real live shit. I like monsters. That's what I like. I like shit that's not real because that's fun for me. When I go to a movie, the last thing I want is you to recreate real life. I get enough real life. I don't want it. I want vampires. What do you got? Who can fly? Who shoots laser beams out of their eyeballs?
Yeah.
If you don't have that, I don't want to go see your fucking movie.
I got movies and I got movies to take my mind the fuck away, aka Calgon. I got movies and I got Calgon.
Calgon, take me away.
Yeah, you take. There's movies that you watch. I want to watch a movie that halfway during the movie you ask yourself, "Where's my life headed?"
Right,
and you're giggling. That's right. All that matters to me. Right. Like sometimes I catch myself watching Roadhouse. I ain't gonna fucking lie. Best movie on television. I'll watch it all the way through. Ben Gazzara.
Yeah.
Let me flip a coin. Hold on. He flips a coin. There's just some.
You got rich off a lot of people in this town, and I'm gonna get richer.
Yeah. There's just some movies.
Dialogue ever. That movie's a classic.
There's some dumb movies that I'm ashamed to tell people I even like. You know.
I love the scene where they're stitching Patrick Swayze up. She's stitching him up, and he goes, "Pain don't hurt." Pain don't hurt.
I wish you would have like a video game for that, like a first person shooter Roadhouse, where you're just like going around bars and kicking ass, like going through clubs and crowds.
Oh,
and
being
like
a bouncer.
Yeah, being a bouncer and the most craziest fights. Bar ever. Yeah.
Yeah, they could have something like
boss that. Levels, the woman's restroom or
coolers.
Something.
They weren't even bouncers. They were coolers. And shit.
Bouncers. I want you to be nice till it's time to not be nice. Those are the cocaine days, man. They made different movies.
I was 87. Yeah,
they made stupid movies because they didn't know the movies were stupid because they were all coked up while they were making them. And they all had
this idea. Listen,
they all had bad soundtracks. They all like really like. Did you ever see Manhunter? Is that what it is? The original Silence of the Lambs? I believe it was called Manhunter.
Manhunter, yes, it is.
With the dude from CSI, William, what's his name?
I can't think of his name.
Whatever right homeboy's name is.
That's a weird fucking movie.
It's a good fucking movie.
That's a weird movie.
It's a good but fucking brilliant. Movie.
That's Michael Mann in his early days. He got, you know, William Peterson is his name.
Yes, William Peterson.
The story about William Peterson was like he put him in Thief. He's got one line in Thief. He takes a stick and is going to hit James Caan. That's him. That's William Peterson. Then he put him in Manhunter. Then I think William Peterson. And then he put him in one of the best movies ever.
To Live and Die in L.A.
God damn! Like a motherfucker!
Fuck yeah. People forget about that movie.
The line I have stolen. I told him to his face and he goes, "What line?" And I go, "That line is I stole from him." What? 1983 when John Turturro is in the jail and what's his name goes to visit him. When he first gets busted at the airport with a counterfeit money. And he goes, "Listen, sit tight. I'll get you out." And he looks at me and goes, "Yeah. And the check's in the mail and I promise not to come in your mouth." And then he goes, "Listen, it's all going to work out in a couple of days." And all of a sudden you hear the bell go off and he's got to stop visitation. He's drinking KO Pectate, which makes the visit even stronger. He's got a fucking ulcer.
Right.
And as he's leaving, he knocks on the glass and he goes, "Don't forget about me."
That's your line?
That's where I get that line
Don't
from.
Forget about me?
Don't forget about me. He just walks away into the midnight and shit. That's a great movie. Chicks eating each other. Remember that's what that movie was about? Like, she was an artist type woman and shit like that.
That was a good
What's the name movie. Of that dude, dog, that he played The Last Temptation of Christ? He's a star to Live and Die in L.A.
Which guy's that? William Dafoe? William Dafoe.
I'm sorry. Yeah. William Dafoe. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he was great in that movie. He was great in that movie.
Fuck yeah. You know what's crazy about The Exorcist? Like before ecstasy and before fucking all these things, there was a drug called THC Crystal.
THC Crystal.
Crystal. This is 1976 to about 80. It was a designer drug. It was supposedly THC, the sticks and stems. You boil them, and whatever rises to the top, you scrape it off, and you freeze it, and you snort it. But what it became was something completely different. Like but for $10, three people could get high. That's the first thing I ever snorted in my life. I never did blow like that then. I just did this one thing, and people snorted, try. And one night I did that THC crystal between two people, and I went fucking home. And that's one of the times. That was one of the last.
Did you share it like Lady and the Tramp?
I don't know how we shared it. It came in a little aluminum foil, and you gave it to your buddy, and he went, and it tasted like didn't taste like anything else I've ever tasted. It tastes like a vitamin. Fucking 15 minutes later, your vision would just cross. But one night I went home, put that fucking Exorcist on, and I nearly had a heart attack.
What was the effects of this stuff? Like, what was it like?
Between me and you, it was just a fucking design and name for
Angel Meth? Dust. Angel Dust.
That's all it was. It was
a designer name for Angel Dust.
Between the 70s, all that shit was big in New York. Angel Dust. They called it something else.
PCP?
When you went to buy weed, little envelopes, brown envelopes that you folded up, trays of fives or tens, Liddy would always go out. Then, not only would they have a name for the weed, the Master Mix, the Super Mix, they go, we also got whatever killed somebody that week. Like when I first...
The Len Bias?
Len Bias, or the Guyana. Like the first time I went over there, it was the guy.
Jim Jones tragedy.
This is what he put in the motherfucking Kool-Aid. So you.
What was it? Why? That was always the case, right? Wasn't that always the case when somebody would die?
Yeah.
They would always name some shit and tell you this is the shit that put him on the moon. This is the shit that put Neil Armstrong on the moon.
It was like 87, right? 85 or 86 when Len Bias died.
Shit they gave Kennedy before they put him in a limo.
I still remember going to Harlem that week and like not even thinking about it. Like Lenny Bias died.
Yeah.
Lefty Dreisel was the coach. It was the first time he had ever done blow. Whatever. And I'm in the car, and I pull over, and we go get weed in Harlem, and all of a sudden, some black guy comes around the thing, and he's like, yo, I got the shit to kill Lenny Bias. I had to stop, and like fucking almost dropped to one knee. I had never heard that before. It was dark, there were pit bulls out, you know what I mean? I didn't give a fuck, I just dropped. I had never heard that before.
Imagine that's your marketing. Could you imagine if someone died from Tylenol? You know, people died
from Tylenol. Well, people were doing it. When people were poisoning it, that's what they was. Bro, this is what they put in the Tylenol and shit.
It's Challenger dust.
But can you imagine if Tylenol was saying that? That's my point. Imagine if Tylenol was selling, yo, this is shit to kill them 20 people. Can you hang? Can you hang, dog? And sell it. We can't even sell it inside CVS. We got to be in the parking lot.
This is the shit that we gave for that dude when he got shot in the head and he drove himself to the hospital. Shit like that.
Yeah.
Show the guy's head fucking bleeding and stuff like that.
Why is it always that? It's always the shit that killed the latest guy.
Gaddafi.
The shit that killed
Gaddafi. This is put up Gaddafi's ass.
Yeah. Did you watch any Gaddafi footage?
A little bit.
Holy shit, that's strange. Could you imagine we had footage like that of Hitler's last day? You know? Gaddafi went out hard, dude.
Knife in the asshole.
Dude, he went out to animals. They ripped him apart and shot him. I mean, basically, those people were screaming, Allah Akbar, and they were shoving sticks up his ass. You could find photos online of them shoving a stick right up his ass. They got a still frame. It was real hard to see what exactly was going on in the video.
They still used the Motorola. Yeah, it was the Motorola Razor, it looked like.
It looked like something along those lines. It was not a good camera. It was a shitty camera. And there was so much movement on the screen. There was so much action that the camera like made things almost like stop motion. It was like it was missing frames. You know, it looked terrible.
Or very artsy. There's some guy over there going, dude, you should see how I edited it.
No. It's obvious. It's a shitty.
Let me tell you something. What a miserable way to die with a fucking stick in your ass.
Yeah, well, they shot him. Well, the coalition forces were going to come and get him and take him away, and one of the guys shot him.
Now, even after you're shot, I mean, you're breathing, you have a couple minutes of whatever, right there, they're pulling your pants down and sticking a broom handle up your ass.
You know, it was a knife.
And it was a knife.
No, you saw a knife?
It was a knife. Really? I just read a thing the other day that I forget what website it was. It was like a news website, and they were saying that they went frame by frame and realized there was a knife in the asshole. Oh, well, and you could see where it's like a little blood stain, too, like he was spotting, you know? Like it started knife a little period.
A cookie.
A little Gaddafi period.
Brian.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You want my cookies from LCC? These
Gaddafi Rebel shoves knife up Gaddafi's butt before killing him. Wow. Yep, exactly. But it's what's crazy, dude, is the how nutty it is like to watch this guy's last moments. There's always screaming, and he's covered in blood, and he's looking around horrified, and they're screaming, La Wakba! And they kept taking the camera and putting it in front of their face. Like, they'd look right at the camera and scream, Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! And then go back to chaos and blood.
What's Allahu Akbar mean?
God is great. God is great. Yeah. What? Yeah, it's pretty fucking nuts, man. That's a crazy part of the world. Scary, you know?
I dressed up as a wizard and scared a bunch of people at a party. I dressed up as the Black Wizard. And I think it made people nervous because I bought really realistic guns, like fake guns.
I think feeling a Black Wizard would fucking scare me to pieces. You understand me? Well, I don't need a gun.
I'm looking at a photo of this guy shoving a knife up his ass. Yeah.
You see a little blood spot?
Yep. He shoved a knife in Gaddafi's ass.
That's cool blood.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded jacket.
That guy will be talking about that forever. This will be like, that'll like be his family's legacy.
Do you bring the knife home?
You know that photo? You know the photo of the guy who shoves the knife of Gaddafi's ass? That is my father. I was that guy. Yeah, I'm watching this picture. That's deep. He shoved it deep in his ass, too. It's a crazy way that guy died.
Does he multiple stab him or just shoves a knife up his ass?
You can't tell because in the video it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, in the video
there's some good photos of his dead body, though. There's a bullet in his forehead and two in his chest. There's some high-quality photos of his body. Pretty nuts, man. This is we've never had that before, you know? Never had the video of a guy getting attacked by a mob and killed.
Yeah, just think in 20 years, it's going to be in 3D and shit. It's going to be like the best
quality. You mean we're going to get high quality, more video footage, stuff like this?
Yeah, it's going to get worse. So. It's going to get to the point where we're going to be able to experience what Gaddafi felt with a knife being up there.
Yeah, right?
How fucking far have we come like that? Like, so many more shit are going to get taped now. In my hometown in North Bergen, they have command centers. People watch videos, and they have cameras controlling the city, and they call them hot spots. You know, they call them hot spots. But in reality, they're fucking taping you.
Yeah. Well, you know, people do creepy shit. You got to catch them. That's the way to catch them.
There's pro and con to that. That's the tunnel from New York. I understand. But they're fucking taping you.
It's true.
You know, I mean, I thought there was something more to this. And that they might not be the only people. I mean, you know, I don't whack off in fucking Vegas.
You don't whack off in Vegas?
Nothing. I even take a shower with underwear on. Those motherfuckers. Those motherfuckers in Vegas will tape you, you know.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, man. You have to assume. You can't even think. You have to assume that they're watching.
Photos of Joey Diaz beating off.
There's no, dog, forget it. I even used, even when I'd snort coke in Vegas, I'd snort in that little fucking bungalow bathroom with the lights out. You know what I'm saying? So nobody would fucking see me. Fuck you. And I'd fart in there to double check. Nobody would even pop their head out of the fire compartment. Just those motherfuckers fucking with me, Jack.
You think that they videotape you while you're...
You have to assume in Vegas. They really? Have so much liability.
I agree.
They have so much liability there to lose. They're watching everything. I mean,
so if someone goes in and kills a hooker, they have video footage of it.
They'll pop it up somewhere. Hold on. They have it on camera number 7, which is like a camera behind a
picture. Do you remember Ike Quarte?
No.
Ike Quarte... No, Ike Abeabuchi. I'm sorry, not Ike Quarte. Ike Quarte was a lighter weight fighter. Ike Abeabuchi, the president. He called himself the president. He was a killer dude, a big fucking scary dude who was on the way to being a heavyweight champion. He was a crusher dude, who was knocking everybody out. But he liked to beat the fuck out of hookers. Liked to get hookers and beat the fuck out of them and just do creepy shit to them, rape them and shit. And so they arrested him. He's in jail on that now.
That's illegal?
He'd done it a bunch of times.
But he did it in Vegas?
Yeah, he did it in Vegas. Yeah, but he was a crazy, dangerous, scary dude. One of those just big, giant, fucking 250-pound ultra athletes just beating the fuck out of everybody. Everybody was terrified of Ike Abeabuchi. I wonder when he gets out of jail.
You know, I have to also assume the airport. The bathroom at the airport.
Really?
Yeah, yep. I'd say that too.
I have to assume that.
And I would, on the plane.
And I would want them to in a way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shit at the fucking airport. That's disgusting. Yeah. But
and I'm sure they have like technology of it detects you masturbating or something.
It must detect something, a warmth that the chemicals must give off or a warmth that something. I'm not really, you know, deep into chemicals and bombs and shit like that. I'm just saying that you have to assume when you go to Vegas. I heard a story years ago about a girl going to Vegas on her honeymoon. A girl I grew up with went to Vegas on a honeymoon. And 5 years later, she went to the Poconos for her anniversary. And she rented a porno with her husband. And it was her fucking on her honeymoon in Vegas. And they sued the casino for $3 or $4 million. This is in the 80s. So if that was going on in the 80s, and I have another friend that I spoke to when we were in Houston, Texas. Before he became a cop, he got busted snorting coke in the bathroom in Vegas. And when he came out, they arrested him. This is fucking 1981 or two.
So they were filming the toilets?
In the bathroom. To this day, he
pleaded. So while you're taking a shit, they're filming you?
You have to assume.
That's incredible.
You have to fucking assume that our privacy now and at places like that. At Las Vegas, there's got to be ultra fucking security. I would, you know, I'd have to just, in all areas, casinos. You were with me when we were talking to Alex Jones in Houston. He was saying that in 2 years... They want to have fucking the pat-down people at the malls and shit. at parks, at national parks. You know, the like PSA, is that what you call them? TSA, I don't fucking think. PSA. But you have to assume, you know, that this is, that they're watching you. I don't give a fuck. I don't do nothing wrong. I don't get, you want to arrest me for smoking dope and scratching my nuts, go right ahead. I mean, that's the worst thing I fucking do, you know.
Right.
You know, whatever.
It is an interesting question. It's like, how much is your privacy worth? Is it worth people being able to do creepy shit and get away with it? You know, what if one of your friends got killed and it was in a bathroom and they could have arrested the guy, but there was no video camera because people were scared of the video footage? You know, and you could say, well, hey, a guy got free because there was no evidence. But meanwhile, if they had a camera in there, we would have caught him. That guy would be in jail. The streets would be safer.
Now let me ask you this. Let's pretend one of our friends did get killed in the bathroom, and Vegas, the airport, wherever, we don't want to get nobody in trouble, did tape it.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be admissible? That's the other fucking thing. I could come to you as the head detective and go, come here for a second. This is a situation. We tape everybody. You've always known that. We got the fucking guy. We just need for you to go, answer him, but we got the guy.
That's what you do in the chambers, right? Like the judge's chamber. Yeah. You're like, all right, you guys know the situation.
That's why I am. He killed him in the bathroom. Is it admissible? That's the fucking problem you have here.
So you have to you'd have to find out what the laws are.
How did you... Okay, I come into your house.
I think bathrooms.
I knock on your door. Mrs. Rogan opens the door. I smell marijuana. That gives me the right to come right in. You smell that?
Yeah.
Get out against the wall.
You know why? Because of Homeland Security.
Homeland Security.
They changed that. You know how many fucking arrests have been for actual terrorism through Homeland Security? It's been like 12 or 14. And the arrests for drugs have been thousands. Thousands. It's ridiculous. I think the actual statistic is probably like 1,500 to 12 or something like that.
So I come in here and I'm looking for... something, I don't know. I come in for the weed, and when I come in here, I see a t-shirt that you wore that you ripped off when I was chasing you and you stabbed the guy. Is it admissible?
Well, if you have DNA on it.
If I came in there without a warrant, though. I didn't have a warrant to come into your fucking house. It's you and that cop against your wife's word. You follow me? It's a very thin fucking line. You know, you can't go looking for something and find something else. You know, if I say that, I'm going to go to the house 100 Liberty Street. It's a brown house, and when I get there, it's a blue house. Guess what? My warrant is fucking null and void.
Really?
Yeah, the color of the house. It's fucking crazy, dog. It's crazy how to the T.
So even if you went into that house, if the warrant was null and void, if the house was the wrong color, but you found dead bodies and guns and...
The warrant is no fucking good. You walk, my friend.
Whoa.
On a little technicality, on a warrant, on wording, you walk. You fucking walk in this country.
That's how they start out Charles Bronson movies.
That's why.
That's where fucking, right? Wasn't that movie where were walking? Death Wish? But there was one movie where someone walked and Charles Bronson went after him. The guy walked on a technicality. Or was it Clint Eastwood? Whatever.
It was Michael Douglas, 1981. The movie was called Star Chamber, where he played a judge in L.A. Fucking brilliant movie. And two guys are driving down the fucking street one day, and a cop pulls them off a busted headlight, and the cop goes, I smell marijuana, and they look in the van, they find a kid's shoe. So they arrest him, they bring the fucking guy in, Michael Douglas is the judge, boom, because it was inadmissible, because they pulled him over for a broken headlight. They didn't really have the right to look in the thing. In the court, the kid's father shoots the cop. It's a great story. It's about a team of judges who have a hitman. And whenever you beat them in court, they come looking for you. So six judges sit there and go, this is the case of Brian Redband. He killed this lady, took the jewelry to a house. And when they specified the color of his house brown, the color of his house was white, he got away. We'll try to get him. What do you think?
Let's go kill him.
Guilty, guilty, guilty. And the guy would go and fucking shoot you. And then when they went after the kids, the people who killed that kid, they found out that it was the father. So
what was it called? Star Chamber?
Star Chamber. Michael Douglas went after the guy to tell him that
he was... 1981?
1981. It was on... You know how I know? In 1992, it was the first time I had HBO. And it was the classic fucking month I got. It was Raging Bull, Star Chamber, and Hollywood Nights.
Is it good?
Which one?
Star Chamber. Does it hold up?
It's a night... I haven't... It was on a... ETWR about 2 months ago, and I watched it for a little while. It's one of those channels, you know, one of those channels on cable, you know, Showtime. They always have extra Showtime extra. I don't fucking know, but it was on one of those ones.
It is amazing when you go looking at it how many different channels there are.
We got 500 fucking channels.
And why do they put all the fucking HD channels way at the top and they put like all the bullshit in the middle?
10,000 music. Music fusion.
How many people use those music channels?
No one. You're going
to someone's house and they're playing music through the TV?
Only ex-girlfriends use those. I mean, it's like, I'm vacuuming. I like listening to 80s.
Disco Explosion ain't bad, dog, to get your party started sometimes.
Disco Explosion.
Well, they have all different call names on it. Every different whatever.
Well, I know there's a way to get XM radio
on your house.
Yeah.
How do you get XM radio in your house? Because it has to go.
You call. And
I think it's a subscription.
What is it? They have the satellite on your roof or something like that?
No, it just broadcasts through like a channel, I think.
Through the internet
channel,
or something?
Like a music channel. No, like cable.
What?
Are you talking about through your cable company?
I'm talking about XM radio.
Oh, you just get
how do you get satellite radio in your house, though? How's it picking it up?
Oh, you get this little tuner that comes with it. Or a lot of the devices now have the tuner built into the device.
But is it picking up from a satellite? Like if you go under a tunnel, it won't work? Is that what it is?
Right.
But how's it work in your house, then?
It's just how it's built. You just point it towards the direction of the house, and whatever technology goes through the walls. It's not the best, but I've done it for a long time.
The whole satellite thing is kind of weird, right? They have to throw it into orbit. It seems kind of archaic. Now the internet is so powerful and fast. It's like, why would you throw it all the way up into space and then bring it back down?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, why can't you just broadcast it through the internet? Why do you know?
Because they're trying to the internet, the bandwidth of the internet, the backbone is getting like a lot loaded lately, you know.
Yeah.
So much video transfers and stuff like
so
that.
So satellite radio is not ones and zeros they're sending. They're sending something on a radio frequency, so it's not like bandwidth intensive. It doesn't matter how many people are downloading it, right?
Right.
It's like a radio.
It's off the network. It's in space or something.
So there's never.
I might even be wrong.
I don't know. You might be wrong, right? you don't get to too many listeners on satellite radio, and then it doesn't work right. It's not like, you know, you crash a website.
Yeah, I don't think so. No. Yeah.
So it's different. That's funny.
It's like TV broadcast, you know?
It's funny that bandwidth is like a big thing, you know, that it's like, you know, when you see a file and you go, wow, 1 gig is going to take, you know, how many people are doing that at the same time? There's a million people downloading the same 1 gig update to Mac OS X, and you got to look at that and go, God damn, how much bandwidth is that?
You know what's weird is that I think it was Sprint just released a report the other day that they just got the new iPhone on their network, and how the Droid in Motorola, they spend 30% or 40% more bandwidth than the iPhone, they've noticed.
Really? Because of the 4G? Is that what it is?
No.
Or because more people are just online.
I think the applications, how they're designed, there's more things streaming and constantly connected, I'm guessing.
Oh, that makes sense. It's streaming because, it's just, you know, you're able to get all those different flash videos that you can't get on iPhones.
Right. Things like that.
Yeah, those 4G phones are fucking fast, man. Verizon's 4G.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the store and I fucked around with that Droid Bionic.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is a slick
little
machine.
If you have it in your area, it's not, I mean, it's not everywhere. You know, like, you probably won't get it here at this house.
No, I barely get it. Barely get it because I have a 4G card and I can get online with it.
Right,
but barely.
I noticed with the 4S that it's two times faster than the 4.
Yeah, but it's two times faster with AT&T. AT&T sucks, dude.
Yeah, but
it's always fucking up. When you're in any place where it's high volume, you can't get a call. You can't make a call.
I don't have any problems anymore.
The
network's diluted.
I don't think you make as many calls as I do. When I'm in my car and I'm driving in jiu-jitsu, I'm driving to a comedy show, I'm constantly doing business in my car. Doing business, man. I'm a businessman, you know what I'm saying? I'm just getting my business done. I always have to take care of shit. I have to deal with
it. I successfully drive from my house to your house.
On the phone? The whole way. Really?
Yeah.
Is this a new thing? Did you always
wear
your
phone? In the last 3 months, 4 months.
Really? So it got better?
It's gotten a lot better.
Really?
And my data network at my house is like 6 megabyte download on the new iPhone. So that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Well, when I had it, I couldn't drive to Hollywood and keep a conversation. There was three places where it would cut out. It would drive me fucking nuts. I'd be like, this is Hollywood in 2011. You know, we had Anthony Bourdain on. He was talking about you could be in China in the middle of the fucking woods and you got 4 bars on your phone.
Yeah.
Like, they got it wired over there. They're like so advanced as far as like cell phone coverage and things like that.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. The AT&T thing would drive me nuts. And then when you're at the UFC, I know this is still a fact, when there's that many people in the arena, when you're like at an 18,000-seat arena and everyone jumps online, you can't get online. You can't get online. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It shows you got three bars, and it won't get online. It won't open anything. You can't get on Twitter. But then I get on Verizon, boop, right on. No problem.
Right in the arena?
Yep.
Hey, Joey, you just got a new phone. You got a Droid phone, right?
No, I got the 4S.
Oh, no, you got the Sprint EDV 4G phone. What's your review on it? Like, what would your editorial be on it?
Listen, man, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I went online and tried to look up the directions on YouTube to learn how to do a couple of things on it. But I'm very happy. Number one, I was getting calls inside the UFC. I've always been, you know, I don't know what a bad phone service is because I've always had Sprint.
Right.
As far as the phone is concerned, I like to get emails. When I do push a bad button and end up on Twitter, I'm on it.
Right.
I mean, I'm on fucking Twitter. I can't believe it. It's in my thing. I can't see. But the screen is fucking huge. You know, if you really need, and when I get texts, I get two texts. I get a text regular size, and I hit it again, and then I get this fucking term paper.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's pretty cool for me. It works for me.
What's the camera like on that?
I don't know how to use it, so I'm about to come over. That's why I called you last week to come over your house. I was by your house.
How can it be hard? It's just a camera on a phone.
It's not hard, but if I press the wrong button, I'm on fucking Albania buying fucking dresses. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing on a website, and I start hitting. So I've been learning things. I downloaded apps now. I read my apps. You know, I know how to do those things.
That's cool.
I say one thing for getting online, you can't beat that big screen.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's a big difference. Oh, the battery life. What do you think about that?
It's hell. But I know what abuses it. If I get a YouTube video and look at a YouTube video when I'm in the restaurant, that's going to kill any fucking battery.
Out of 10 spirits, what do you rate it?
10 spirits?
Yeah.
For Joey Diaz or for anybody else?
For,
I'm very content with the service. I don't know. I'm going to have to get my wife's iPhone and try her out and see where it gets stuck and shit like that.
So that's the Sprint EVD 4G something.
But no, I got the shitty one. I got the Galaxy S.
Oh, Galaxy S.
But it's still the 4S.
Galaxy S is a great phone.
Bro, yeah. It was. I can't even tell you the numbers. It is a good phone. I get this for $80 a month with the whole fucking plan.
Yeah, that just a few months ago was the best Droid phone available.
You know,
yeah.
You're fucking crazy, guys. That's so cool. For me, I'm going
to,
you know.
The Galaxy S2 is supposed to be the shit. The Galaxy S2?
That's
supposed
to be really good. This one here, the new one?
No, there's another one.
Right, the new one. The S2. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Am I allowed to text you yet?
Not really, because you're...
That's a funny answer.
Your family. Your family.
Yeah.
You're bothering me. Fuck.
Just call me up, cocksucker.
You know what the funny thing is? I guess tomorrow, Red Man, fill me in. I know one of you guys know. What happens tomorrow with DirecTV? They lose Fox and everything.
Is that going on? That usually happens until about midnight.
Right, about tonight.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen?
Supposedly. I was asking you guys.
Supposedly.
I read that UFC wasn't in jeopardy. They didn't have to worry about it.
No,
I don't know why you're fucking around with this DirecTV. Just go to UVerse.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. It's
great.
Now, what's the other? Isn't the other one better than UVerse that I could go
Vira,
to?
Verizon?
No.
Fios?
No, there's another one.
Warner Cable.
That's what I have. No. Shoot yourself in the mouth. Let it slowly kill yourself.
You don't like it, Dunk?
This is a problem. It goes off sometimes. Yeah. It goes off. I have to reboot it. And we lose the podcast sometimes. I mean, I have the highest level of cable they sell. And, you know, a lot of times where we're uploading, they'll say low bandwidth and they'll just kick us offline for nothing. And then we have to reboot. We have to reboot it.
Plus, it's owned by Warner Brothers, you know, and if you want to look at movies, you're not supposed to.
It's not that good. Okay. It's not the best. Maybe it's my connection. Maybe I don't have a good connection up here because I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what it is, but they told me I would get, you know, X amount download speed. It's just not that good.
Because I've seen the shows that they lose. If you have, like, the other day they emailed me, like, the shows I lose. And one of the shows is Sons of Anarchy. Chuck Zito must be jumping up and down. You know what I'm saying?
You lose it
if this goes Fox, down. Yeah, really? Yeah. Chuck Zito is at the fights.
Well, Chuck Zito, isn't he suing Sons of Anarchy?
I guess. I don't know what
he says that was, like, his idea. I told him. I came up to him. I got a bike. I got a fucking camera. Come on. Yeah. I never watched that show. Do you watch that show?
I started watching it this year because a buddy of mine's on the show, and I bumped into him after a few years.
I like that guy. Ron Perlman, is that his name?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. My friend was on, and she says he was fucking great. He was just a really good guy to her.
I bet he is. He's hilarious. That guy's good. He's good in a lot of movies. He was good in Drive. See Drive?
I haven't seen Drive yet, no.
Very violent, but good.
Yeah, I stopped going to the movies, guys. After 30 years of growing up.
I still like a good car chase, a well-done car chase, you know? Drive had some wild car chases. If you watch the preview, apparently, it looks like that it was like a car chase movie, like a real action movie, and some woman went to see it and sued because she felt like the previews misrepresented the film. She didn't know it was going to be this weird, moody sort of a dude with ADD or whatever the hell he's got. You know, it looks like he's got like mild autism or Asperger's or something like that, and he's out there killing people stoically.
Cars 2 comes out on video. You'll like that then.
Cars 2?
Yeah.
What is that?
New Pixar movie that came out that was like the worst idea ever. Well, I'm just
saying
that
this lady sued.
Yeah.
She sued because she thought that the movie was not what she went to see. Like, how hilarious is that? What a dumb bitch.
Did she win any money?
I don't know. I don't think so. Well, I don't think they've
dumb
settled.
Dumb bitches either. If they pay the fucking dumb bitch.
I don't think they've settled. I think it's just one of those things where you hear about in the news.
It's amazing how you can sue for anything now. You
know, pretty much,
like,
yeah.
Like fucking anything.
Well, Ari got sued by that crazy schizo guy for being a bad lawyer. Because Ari wasn't, you know, Ari was pretending he was a lawyer to a crazy person.
You know, looking back at it, that was a really bad idea, saying that you're a lawyer. You know, that's probably against the law. I'm sure there's a law somewhere like you can't tell people you're a lawyer.
People do it every fucking day.
Ari's a comic. This guy comes to a comedy club, talks to Ari at a comedy club. After Ari gets off stage, Ari tells him he's a lawyer and he'll represent him as he's suing. I mean, come on, man. The real problem was the guy was crazy.
Yeah.
Like just to the bone crazy. That place, that comedy store, is a fucking magnet. There's a vortex there. I don't believe in hippie shit like crystals and this is the sacred part of the universe. This one area, let's huddle in together. Like where I lived in Boulder, there was a circle of rocks. And this lady was like this yoga lady was into this rock circle. And she was telling me that, you know, you have to stand in true north and accept the universe. And this is sacred land. I don't believe in that. But I do believe there's something about the comedy store. There is something about that place where there's crazy people walking down Sunset, and they stop at that place, and they just start walking. They start walking in. That place, we met more crazy people at that place than any other place in Hollywood. Like, if you have to compare between the nuts that go to the improv and the nuts that go to the comedy store, there's no comparison, right?
It's two different fucking worlds.
Two
different worlds. I know. I remember becoming a regular at the store, and how people would say, how do you go up there?
People are scared of that place.
People are fucking scared of that place. Yeah, the consumers.
Yeah. Super consumers. Dark.
Playground versus treehouse.
Playground versus treehouse.
Yeah. Comedy store is like a playground. Like, any shit will happen. You know, it's out in the open. Treehouse, you're kind of like with the same people, but you're kind of protected. And it's more like, you know, chill for comics.
Comedy
like,
store like is where Nick Diaz would hang out, and the improv is where GSP would hang out.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I got nothing against GSP. He's just a gentleman. He's calm. Yeah. At the comedy store, look at the fucking... The other day, we were talking about Freddie Prinze. Freddie Prinze goes back to the comedy store. And that was the 70s.
Well, prior.
You know, 21, shooting a fucking gun when they were coked up the fucking hill with that crazy guy. And, you know, this was a home of dysfunction.
Yeah.
The owner was fucking the comics, you know, sucking their dicks two at a time. You know, they had a house where they did Blow and Louis Anderson and Dice and Roseanne all lived in this fucking same house at one time. Listen to the talent in that fucking room.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you have that intensity of talent, it has to go the opposite way. You got to have that intensity because you're teetering right on that fucking fine line of brilliance and fucking craziness. Yeah. And somewhere in there is the fucking comedy, is the humor.
And that all that energy got sucked into the walls of that building. Sucked into the
vortex in there. It's something that...
Yeah, that building has a feel to it.
It's amazing. Yeah. You know?
Well, you know, there's a guy named Rupert Sheldrake. He's an evolutionary biologist who believes that everything has memory, that everything has some sort of, some capability of recording the past, and that even furniture... That's why people love antiques, you know. There's something not just about the fact that there's character to it, but it really gives off a feeling to it because it has so many memories in it of people using it, you know, that has a rich, ancient feeling to it. And people believe that that's the case with buildings, you know, that buildings almost have a built-in memory, you know, that they have something where, you know, if you... Like, here's a perfect example. When I was in Boulder, the JonBenet Ramsey house was for sale, where JonBenet Ramsey died, and it is a big... beautiful house, but it was cheap. It was way cheaper than it would have ordinarily been. And I remember talking about it with some friends, and they were like, fuck that. I wouldn't fucking live there. You know, and why wouldn't you live there? It's not like the kid's going to come back to life. It's not like the guy's going to fuck you in the ass and knock you over the head with a rock and kill you. No, it's already over. The crime's been committed. Now it's just a house. Like, why would you avoid that house? Because that house has got a memory in it, man. There's a we know, inherently, we know.
So you would never do that? You'd never be able to live there?
No, it's like, look, I have gone in the water in places where people have drowned, you know?
Yeah, but I'm sure there's dead Indians underneath this house somewhere.
That's my point. I have walked on ground where I'm sure someone has died, but a building a building where someone died, you got to plow that motherfucker over and start from scratch. You got to get rid of that building.
I'm very, very fucking happy you had this conversation. Yeah. I am fucking, because I had something in my heart the last 3 weeks that has blown me the fuck away. And I know I'm not retarded. I know I'm not fucking crazy. I went to New York to shoot that documentary about my life.
Right.
And, you know, when my mother bought that house, the deal was...
You went back to the house you grew up
in? Yeah. My mom had money. Cool. So we had an option. We could live in Fort Lee. I never forget that house. It was right on the George Washington fucking bridge. Underneath, we had two fucking leopards in front of the house, white statues. I'm like, Ma, this is the house. The problem was we couldn't explain where the cash was coming from. If we took the house in North Bergen, the guy would work out some deal with the bank, and we had no about the down payment. Problem with the house in North Bergen, they didn't tell us when we got the house. After we moved in, somebody had hung himself.
Whoa.
Downstairs. And the block is on an orphanage. It's a dead-end fucking street, which is bad luck right fucking there, dead-end streets. That's just bad. And the end of that Spirits. Block was an orphanage.
Spirits.
Was a fucking orphanage. Now, I lived in that house. I found my mom on the floor in that house. I mean, I grew up in that house. I had
parties. Yeah, your mom, for people who don't know, your mom died.
Yeah, in
you
that house.
When you were on 13 on acid. On acid.
14, 15 15? On acid. And it's just so weird how I had great times in that house as a kid. I can't lie. A lot of laughs. People came up. I got my dick sucked. I seen my first porno in the attic. I smoked dope. I remember after my mom died, my dad came over to me on the street. And he goes, come into the car for a second. He had a box like this. And he lifted the box up. And he goes, look in this box. And there was 3 inches of roaches. Not cockroaches. Weed roaches.
Right.
And he looked me straight in the eye. And he goes, you got to stop this today. This is bad. We would go upstairs. In those days, five people.
3 inches of roaches.
Dog, we would go upstairs when we were 13, five of us, and we'd buy a half ounce of weed. And that, in those days, weed wasn't that strong. So you bought a half ounce, $25, you rolled 30 joints. That's a good deal. Because you could still sell 25 joints, get your money back, and smoke five. We'd smoke them all. Five guys, we'd sit there with an 8-pack of Budweiser cans, and we wouldn't go home until every joint in that bag was fucking gone. If the only way you go home, if there was five of us, and we said, all right, we'd take a joint for the morning.
So you've been getting high steady since you were how old?
Steady, steady's Freddy. Steady Freddy, daddy, about Betty. 16.
Since you were 16.
But when I was so 13 and
30 that, plus years.
30, I used to be an athlete. And right. With weights and run to George Washington Bridge. But on Fridays, I had my little freak crew. I used to do karate with Mario Diaz. We do homework.
But people don't know, there's a picture of you right behind you over to your right shoulder. That's when you were like a fucking fit athlete. Look at you. No, you animal.
A fucking fit athlete.
What are you talking about? You look like a goddamn football player there. You were huge.
I'm still a fucking football player.
That's how you were when I first met you.
So
for people who don't know.
It was just really weird, Joe, that I would lift weights and eat carrots. And then on the weekends, I had my little fucking guinea crew. And we'd get, you know, a case of Budweiser that we'd rob off a beer truck. And we wouldn't tell nobody. We'd have Visine and cologne. You know, like nobody knew that we got high. But we were jocks. And then my mother died. And then I didn't really like drinking. So I had to do something when I went out with these kids. So I smoked dope.
I love drinking. You know what I don't love? The day after drinking. Fuck, I love getting a little lit, though. It's fun, dude. We went to, Joey and I, after the fights, we went, you didn't come up to the...
You went to Club Mix or whatever.
Yeah, Club Mix. And we went up with my boy Justin from the Action Report, the guy who does the pool gambling videos. And holy shit, we got hammered. Woo! We kept it coming. We just kept those drinks coming.
Was it one of those wake up, go to the airport mornings?
Yep. Nah, sleep for 3 hours, go to the airport.
That was good.
Joey got me a coffee, though.
Yeah.
That kept me up.
But I was telling you that we went to my mother's house, that same house. And I whenever I go to North Bergen, I always go to the cemetery, I put flowers, and I take a ride by the house. But I never get out of the fucking car. That's a complete different story, taking a ride and getting out of the car. This time I actually got out of the car and went in front of the fucking garage. And dog, it was like somebody was kicking my knees out. Like that was just, like, it was like I was getting wheezy. Like I was feeling bad. I was feeling all those emotions because I never carried my keys on
me. Right.
I'd always hide them in the back under the air conditioner and pull out and open the garage. I would
run
into the garage. I was one of those kids.
Right.
And then a Cuban guy came up and we started talking. I told him that my mom died in the house. And he goes, the people live there. I'm watching the house. They're away. You want to go in the back of the house? And I went to the back where I played hours of basketball. And it was over anxiety. It wasn't even anxiety. But I could feel the walls. I could feel the brick walls. Like they knew, you know, like I had been there before. And she goes, if you want, I could open up the place. And that was too real for me. I was like, fuck that. No, I'm good.
Well, even just the emotions of being around it, even if there was no memory in the building, just the re-triggering of your past. You know, old places. Like, you ever been around your old high school?
Please. I went in there when I went back also in grammar school. And yeah. I did everything. You know?
When I was a kid, I used to have a problem when I was when I was just starting to do stand-up and I was just starting to move forward with my life. I would go back to where my high school was, go back to Newton, and I'd drive around. And I would feel like I felt when I was going to school there. It would make me insecure. I would feel like I felt like when I was in high school and didn't know what my future was going to hold and was just really confused and felt like a loser. And I would go back to high school, and it didn't matter how well I had done since high school, how many Taekwondo tournaments I had won or how many, you know, stand-up comedy shows I had done, I still felt like a loser when I was around my high school. It made me feel like still like I was illegitimate. I wasn't confident enough yet, you know?
Well, there's definitely a memory to it. Yeah. Like, there's definitely, like if you got raped in the basement, every time you go to the basement, you'd probably be like, ugh, basements.
Yes, Brian.
But here's the main thing, that this is how I justified me feeling on the plane the next day, because I even felt it the next day on the plane. I felt really bad. And I said, you know what, dog? Even if you had a childhood that was the president's son and you moved out of the White House, if you go back to the White House, you're still going to get some chills.
Yeah.
Your souls are in those walls. Yeah. You talk to those walls. You went to bed quiet one night. You cried.
I went back to the house where I grew up for the first time in 20 years last week. Last month. I was in Boston. And I went back and I stood in front of the house. It was real bizarre. I lived in a weird section of Newton Upper Falls. I lived, it was pretty rural for where I lived. I lived right in front of the Charles River. There was like a big park in front of my house, then the Charles River, and then essentially there was like a lot of woods behind there. There was a lot of woods in that area. But that's where I used to hang out when I was a kid, and I went back there and was walking around. There's a spot called Echo Bridge, and my house was the house right on Echo Bridge. It was 38 Ellis Street, and I went back there, and it was so fucking strange. Everything about it, like all these flashbacks start popping into my head of, you know, of walking on these same streets and standing in front of the same house. The house looks exactly the same. My father built that house. So it was all real weird. It was I stood in the exact parking spot where I caught my friend Adam fingering this girl that I was dating. I dated a lot of sluts. And, you know, look, no offense to them. I'm sure they were good girls, and I'm sure they're probably fucked up, which is why they were attracted to me in the first place, because I was fucked up. But, damn, I dated a lot of girls that cheated on me. Holy shit. They were just whores. I dated this one girl. She literally, everybody that tried to fuck her, fucked her. She could not pass. It was just, she was just one of those crazy Catholic girls that was, like, suppressed her whole life, and all you had to do was try, and you were banging her. And everybody I know banged her. And then when I was just sort of starting to date her, and I got up early because I had a newspaper route, and she was parked in front of my house. This is how crazy these fucking people are. And they're both in front of my house, and he's fingering her right on the front seat. And I slam my hand down on the hood, and I'm like, good morning. I go, you fucking crazy assholes. And then I just got in my car and I drove off. But, you know, I fucked her a bunch of times after that. But I never took her seriously again. You know, it was one of those like, okay, now I see. But that happened. That was like an overwhelming pattern over and over again where a chick would do something fucked up and then I'd never take you seriously again. You know, a couple times it was girls who went on spring break. One time a girl went on spring break, I was living with this girl, and she came back, she was acting real weird. I'm like, what the fuck is up with you? Like, why are you acting so weird? And then she had to confess that she kissed some guy. She said, you tell me you kiss some guy when you're on spring break and you fuck some dude. Period. You come back all weird and say you kiss some guy, you fuck some dude. And, you know, we had to talk about it, but we wound up staying together, but I never took her seriously again. You know, and it never bothered me again. Like, so, like, if I had the opportunity to cheat, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, this ain't going nowhere. I'm just doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even, there was no, it was like I was single. It was like I had a girlfriend, but I was single. You know, like, the opportunity to cheat came up, yeah, of course I would. This bitch came back from spring break, and she was fucking some other dude. And one girl went to spring break, this is my best one, she came back with fucking rug burn on her back. Her whole back was like, her whole lower back, you know, was just fucked up. This dude just lit her up. She went to Florida with her cousins or some shit, and she came back. And when I asked her about it, she told me that she was leaning up against the fence. She was drinking, and she was leaning up against the fence, and there was like a nail in the fence, which is so ridiculous. It's such a bad lie. And again, I couldn't prove anything, so I stayed with her, but I never took it seriously again. I was always like, eventually, this is going to end. This cannot go anywhere. This is never going to be my wife. This is never going to be the mother of my children. This is just some crazy bitch that, all right, that's what happened? Oh, you had a nail, and you scratched it up and down your back in big six-inch swaths? Like, whoever that guy was, he fucked the shit out of her.
Dog, I was around a lot of fucking freaky chicks in Jersey when I was growing up, but nothing beat that dirty whore I used to date from Michigan, dog. The one that threw me out when I first met you, took my clothes,
fucking
leather jacket. That's the crazy bitch I was fucking in the ass in Seattle when I felt something hitting my dick. So I looked at her asshole, I stuck like two fingers, like something was hitting the top of my unit. I'm like, what the fuck is this sharp thing hitting my dick? So I took my dick out, she's like, and I just put two fingers in there, I searched around her asshole. And that's when I found like a fucking little, like a, you know when you eat a Hershey's bar, like aluminum foil that's out inside the Hershey, like half of it. And I took it out, but it was all wrinkled up, and it was like, this was pointy over here. And I just took it out, looked at it, it was like kind of brownish, I put it on the table, stuffed my dick back in there, and finished up.
What?
Yeah, it was the weirdest. And when I came, I just got up with toilet paper and picked it up. I never said nothing to it, because how do you tell somebody they have an aluminum foil in their ass?
How the fuck did
you
that
understand?
Get?
I can say you have STD or something, but aluminum foil, how'd that get there? Why would you ask, you know? It was just a little piece, maybe she had a piece of chewing gum. She was a crazy fucking stripper chick, dog. She was.
I remember her.
That was
the one when I first met you.
That was some of the craziest shit. I had been with crazy women. I've been with crazy people. That's the first time I ever found out about sugar daddies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's the one that filmed me, and she's like, well, okay, let me tell you this story. I have this guy that pays my bills, and I'm like, bitch, I'm getting a piece of that.
You said that you're getting a cut?
Oh, fuck you. I'm getting a cut of that shit. If he's paying you, he's fucking you, and I'm getting a piece
of it. So you were her boyfriend.
Towards the end, she was like, well, my sugar daddy.
Towards the end?
Like, towards the end, like, in Seattle. Because after Seattle, it was the same thing like you. You don't take him serious no more.
Right.
I didn't take it serious no more.
So you were just getting a piece.
Yeah, I was getting a piece, you know.
So you would tell her, all right, you could fuck this guy, but I got to get some money.
I wouldn't say no. Yeah, I would say I'm taking a piece of it. And she'd go, you're fucking crazy. I'm getting a fucking piece of that. I mean, this bitch, listen.
She would say you're fucking crazy.
I had fucked people before. I had fucking come on people before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this was a different level. Like, this was just a different level of retardation. Like, she would take pictures of my dick and shit. I mean, she was fucking nuts, this chick.
Yeah.
Like, I remember she would bring strippers over. She brought this one girl over. I just remembered this. She brought this one girl over one day that was playing that I have a boyfriend routine. So this girl put it together to eat her pussy and for me to fuck her from behind while she was eating her pussy. But the girl wouldn't let me see her pussy because she had a boyfriend. I'm like, only a stripper would do that. She's like, she can see my titties because if he comes to the club, he can see my titties, but I have a boyfriend. I don't want him to really see my pussy. So my girlfriend's eating her fucking monkey, and I'm pumping my girlfriend from behind. I'm trying to catch a piece of this fucking monkey. She was a hot little Jap girl that was pretty fucking. I couldn't catch a fucking monkey. Like, that's
she wouldn't
the people,
let you look at it.
No, that's the people she brought over. Like, crazy shit. Like, just. It was just crazy. Then I got the sugar daddy came to Michigan. Here I am, dirty, crazy. He goes to Michigan to fist fight me. So that's the time I got arrested
for beating her up.
That's the deal. I didn't beat her up. I was beating him up. She jumped in. I pushed her out. And the next thing I know, I'm beating up this fucking broad. But once you have that shit on you, you can't get rid of that.
Right.
Everything you do involves that
domestic
violence thing. Everything the fuck you do in
Seattle. So the sugar daddy showed up.
Showed up at the Comedy Underground. And was like coked up and drunk. He looked like Anthony Bourdain, the sugar daddy. Fucked up. I'm going to fuck you up. At the time, I'm like, I'm going to beat this motherfucker and take his money. You know me. I was in Seattle at the time. I still had
so
a little
did
bit of
she rat you out?
What? No, they had witnesses.
No. How did this guy find out about you?
She ratted me out, whatever. I'm dating him. And he's like, I'm coming back to get you. I'm fighting for your honor.
Oh,
one of those
no.
things. Yeah, though. He showed up. Yeah.
And so he was just getting some pussy for money. And he thought they were in love.
Please. Till this day, he still calls her and sends her money.
Oh.
She's 40. I'm 48. She's 43. Still stripping in Tampa.
Oh, my God.
Still shaking. And she's a millionaire.
And she
just bought her 10th Curbs gym.
Really?
10. She has a franchise fucking thing up and down Michigan.
And she's still stripping?
Still stripping because she's a filthy fucking whore. She sucks a dick for $100 and she'll fuck you for $200 at the strip club.
Really?
Today. She even told me once. She goes, "I'm a little sick because I sucked the guy's cock with no condom the other day. I was dying of fucking laughter."
Oh my god!
She calls me every time she sees me on TV or something. Or
so she calls you and she just gives you the full.
Oh, I just laugh my ass off because this is like the craziest thing in my life. Now I play with cats. You know what I'm saying? I go, "You sound sick. No, I suck some guy's dick with no condom." And I feel a little scratch in my throat.
Oh, my God. His cold shot and she goes to
the
dick.
Yeah, she goes to the PTA. I mean, she works.
She's in the PTA.
The whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Takes him to Disneyland, the whole fucking
deal. Oh, my God. Wasn't she dating some black karate guy or some black shit?
That's a guy that tied her up and held a shotgun to her head. This motherfucker shot. This motherfucker found out she was sucking 10,000 dicks and said, "I'm going out for a pack of cigarettes." He came back with a cigar, a bottle of tequila, and a rope.
Oh, no.
And he tied her up and he looked at the bitch and he goes, "Well, this bottle of tequila's gone. I'm fucking shooting you and I'm slitting my wrists."
Whoa.
So he had her by Eddie's old school. All right.
Oh, my God.
10th Planet La Brea. The old one?
Yeah.
Go down that block, and right there, if you make the left, is the Chinese Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. So some cop is driving by, and he sees him in the window. This is a true story. With a gun to her head. The window's open. He's like, "I'm going to kill you. I love you." He was pulling the same thing
from
what's that movie, Playboy 21, that they shot her with the fucking the best role of his life. Fuck the one with Mickey Rourke. What was the one that the chick, the playmate, Star 80?
Eric Roberts?
Yeah, Eric Roberts. That's his best fucking movie.
But Star 80?
Yeah, he puts a shotgun in her pussy and shit, and then when she's dead, he fucks her in the machine. You never watched Star 80?
Damn, I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
Fucked her while she was dead?
That's a true story. After he killed, what's her name, he built machines to weightlift, but he also built machines to fuck women on. So he made this bench, and he cut the back of the bench down and so you could put your legs on your knees, and he could fuck you from behind. So it would just open. Then he would strap your legs. And that dude was a sick, because that's what he was trying to do all for her. He was trying to sell the Star 80 sex machine.
Whoa. That's what that movie was about?
It's about Eric Roberts and that chick. He was fucking creepy in that. And then I did some looking up into it. That guy was fucking nuts over that bitch.
The real guy in the real story?
Yeah, the real guy was crazy. They wouldn't let him in the Playboy Mansion. And then she was fucking somebody famous. Like a director, you know.
This is the plot of the movie, Star 80.
No, this is a real story in real life. If you look it up, whoever she was fucking a famous director.
Who was it based on?
It was based on, check it out, Brian, a girl from Canada that he was doing wet t-shirt contest. And he signed it, told her, got some pictures of her, got her in Playboy, moved to L.A. They were living the fucking dream, you know, Hefts. Then he married her. You know, he was a fucking mooch.
Right.
He married her, but he was trying to marry, and every week he'd come to her and go, "I got a new idea, Joe Rogan. How about we do the Joe Rogan tester pad?" You know, every week he came to her, a new scam.
Right.
These were the scams he was doing. Then when she divorced him, she gave him money and said, "You could keep doing this dumb shit." Then he invited her over or something, and that's when he fucking iced her.
Really?
But he banged her after she was dead, then he shot himself, dog.
Oh,
that's a sick motherfucker right there.
There's a lot of people that are like that close to killing themselves in Hollywood. Just that close. There's a lot.
Bro, think of how many people lose it over women.
Yeah.
You know, really fucking lose it like that. That's
Yeah, a lot. Well, a lot, you know, it's you know what it's like? It's like if you only have a dollar and someone takes your dollar, it's goddamn devastating. But if you, you know, make $100 an hour and somebody takes your dollar, you're like, "I can make another $100 in an hour. What's the big deal?" You know what I mean? It's like when you have for most guys, the currency of pussy is just overwhelmingly expensive. It's overwhelming hot. It's really hard, really hard to get laid.
For the average guy.
For the average guy. So you get a good one. You get a hot piece of ass. You get a hot bitch that you're really attracted to and you love her. And then your emotions get tied up in her. And then she wants to dump you and she wants to leave you. And that's your everything. That's everything you got. Everything you got in the world is this chick. That's the best thing you got going for you. We've all met guys like that. You ever met that one guy who's like not so good looking, but he's got this hot bitch? And she's just one of those girls that wants a guy who's not going anywhere. She's one of those girls who wants a guy that she knows that she could wrap around.
She just tapped out. She said, "I'm not playing games no more at my age. I don't want this shit no more."
Brian, what are you doing over there, buddy?
I was trying to look up that movie.
What is it
Star
about? Who was the other girl? Eric Roberts, and who was the girl?
I haven't found it yet.
There's so many stories like that, right? Of a guy going nuts over a chick.
Hey, in the sixth grade, bro, that's why I got left back over New Yorker Reese's pussy, dog. That pussy sent me for a loop in the sixth grade.
The sixth grade.
Oh, because you know when you're a kid, you always see pussy and Playboy pictures and shit.
Right.
When you see that shit up close and personal, that's the real deal, dog. I couldn't even think. I quit karate. I stopped talking to my friends.
Just banging her.
Just banging, dry humping. I started dry humping. I would suck on her little funnel titties. And then once I got, she told me she wouldn't give me a piece of pussy till the day first day after school. Really? I couldn't wait till that last day of fucking sixth grade. But my grades were so low. Like, I always had great grades just from going in there listening. I didn't even have to fucking study. But all that was on my mind was banging this chick for 3 months.
Wow.
My parents caught me with her in the closet at that house, naked. It was fucking horrible. They would make me go to the bar afterward. My own mom cock-blocked me. And then finally had to go to summer school. If you miss summer school 3 days, they leave you back. I fucking even cut summer school. Fuck it, this pussy. So by that time, she was giving me the pussy. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just looking at it and licking it. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was just doing little licks at it. I was hoping it wouldn't eat me.
Do you remember when you first started actually having sex? How often you would have sex? It was ridiculous.
And when you met a woman, you didn't care about conversation. When I was 18, I didn't even want you to talk to me.
Yeah,
I just wanted to fuck, suck, and throw you the fuck out.
It was barely had anything in common.
No class. No class. To
communicate about anything.
Nothing. It was horrible. What a horrible fucking way to live as a fucking man. Horrible.
Yeah, it's devastating, right?
And I fucked in the weirdest places when I was young. I fucked behind a Catholic school. Oh, my God. I got in trouble all the time over dumb shit like that. I remember one time I banged Renee Frank behind my McKinley school. I was in the eighth grade. She was a sophomore. But I fucked her backwards. I fucked her, and then I ate her monkey. I didn't know she was a virgin.
You fucked her, and then you ate her pussy.
Then I didn't know what I was doing, dog. I didn't know the fucking progress. I fucked her, and then I ate her pussy, but it was cold out. So the blood froze on my face. You know what I'm saying? I had those hairs. I went home. My mother was like, "What are you, the wolf man?" But then her fucking family hated Spix. They were German. They fucking hated Spix with a passion. Her brother wouldn't even talk to me in the courts. And one night I got her on her balcony. Because after I fucked her, she loved Spix. You understand me? I was licking that bloody monkey. She fell in love with the Cuban. And I had her outside with my finger banging her hard. And all of a sudden, you know when you look, I had her on the stairs. I'm finger banging, but I'm looking at for people on the street. Her father was right behind me, dog.
Watching you finger her?
Fuck Joe Rogan coming out to deliver papers. Oh, my
God.
And he goes, "Are you through yet?"
Oh, my God.
And I fucking walked off the balcony, and I never seen her.
You should have slapped her. And then, nope.
Are you fucking kidding me, dog? She had three brothers that were fucking gorillas. I'm surprised I'm still here living, dog. Oh, my
God. The father caught you.
Oh, my God. It's real. You have no. And then when I got caught playing hooky with that girl, the sixth grade, because we used to go to school and then take off in the afternoons. I'd go to ShopRite. I'd steal like a bottle of Blackberry brandy, you know what I'm saying? We'd drink a few swigs. She let me suck a little titties. They called. My mother was never home in the daytime. The one day my mother's home, they fucking call. So me and this girl lived catty house. Like there was a house behind mine next to her, so I could just jump the fence on the corner and be in the house.
Right.
Her windows were open, and my mom's a fucking spick fuck. She's out there yelling and screaming, "Puta!" And the mother is next door, and she's like, "Puta, that's what happens. Ever since your daughter's been hanging out with my son, they stay up in that fucking room, and they fuck all afternoon.
You must
have taught them how to suck dick. It was killing my mother. It was killing her. It was killing her so much, she even brought my uncle from California one day, because they couldn't figure out what I was doing in the room. So my uncle put
They couldn't figure it out.
No, they were like, "What the fuck's he doing? Let's go see what he's doing." So my stepfather, my mother, and my uncle came to my house. My uncle put a ladder in the back of the house, and he tried to climb up and shit. Meanwhile, I'm dry humping. I think I'm rocking her fucking world. The ladder fell. He's down there. "Adios mio. Adios mio." His leg fucking broke. Gotta take him to the hospital. I come out. "What's going on?" They're like, "We're fixing paint." Like, I busted them right out. Like, a week later, my mother's like, "We're gonna get you. The thing you did to my brother, we're going to get you, little motherfucker. The
thing you did to your brother. You did something."
Well, my mother blamed it on me because they were going up.
She blamed it on you because this motherfucker doesn't know how to climb a ladder?
Fucking hysterical. Do you understand me? What I went through with this New Yorker Ariza girl. And now she's on Facebook and she won't talk to me. But here's the fucked up thing, right? Like 2 years after that,
she's on Facebook.
I messaged her twice. I even fucking farmed her. You know what I'm saying?
How come she won't talk to you?
But here's the deal. What happened was when she was in the eighth grade, I was in seventh. We weren't dating no more. We were friends. We all played together on the street. And I had this kid, Valentin Ferro. He was the mechanic on the block?
Yeah.
Well, I had this kid. This kid was brilliant. You brought him a stolen bicycle within 10 minutes. It was all duped up. Banana bar. You couldn't find that fucking serial number on there, even if you wanted to. But every day when I come out, he'd go, Coco, ride this bike. Tell me if it needs any help. Hey, Coco, ride this bike. You know what I'm saying? So I would get on the bike ride and go, bro, the pedals. You got to put more oil on the fucking pedals. It don't maneuver right. So I went around to Charles Court and we were playing football and I put the bicycle on the fucking floor. So we're playing football by the ball and she's on the block with her girlfriend. She picks up the bicycle, dog, gets on and starts driving the bicycle down the block. Charles Court was a loop, a complete loop. You know those streets? It's not a cul-de-sac. It's that you go in and have the island in the middle.
Right.
It was a loop. So she went on this way and we were going to catch her on this way. So me and my buddies were going to catch her over here, and as we're going for the bike, she twisted the handlebars and went over and fell. She fell. She got up. She said she was okay. She goes, I'm fine. We said, you sure? Yeah. We were like giggling, you know. When somebody falls when you're in the fucking seventh grade, you giggle. She went inside. The next day we went to school, and they pulled me on. They go, you hear what happened to your girlfriend? She got a blood clot in her fucking brain because when she hit the thing.
Whoa.
So I went to the hospital, whatever, what happened. They were like, no, she got a blood clot. A couple days later, the brother heard that. You know, something happened, so he came to me and he goes, bro, what happened that day? I just want to know. And it was me and all my buddies were there, her girlfriend. We were all there. She went away from the bicycle, went over into like weeds and shit, but she wasn't bleeding or nothing, bro.
She must have hit her head.
She just hit her head. So he always had like this, me and him never got along. I mean, he knew I was banging his fucking sister. He heard all the stories. So it was the weirdest Cuban house. These motherfuckers were real spicks. The father and the mother had broken up. But he was Cuban. He ain't leaving nowhere. You got to take me out with bazookas. This is my fucking house.
So he stayed in the house even though
he lived in the basement. Built his own fucking apartment in the basement. Wouldn't even talk to him. Even a little hood. So when he walked in, he'd have to look at their faces. This is my house. Mi house. Yo pagué por esta casa. Sorry. Mi house. I don't go nowhere. My house. And he wouldn't talk to the family.
He wouldn't talk to the family.
Wouldn't talk to the kid. He wouldn't talk to the girl. He would just talk to the boy. He had a Corvette. You know, the whole fucking deal. He thought it was bad to the bone.
So did the wife date new guys?
No. The guy would go fucking crazy. He'd stab motherfuckers. The mother lived there. The whole family lived there. Nice house. She was like a doctor, bro. They had money. These people had dough.
That's hilarious.
But the funny thing was that I had gotten punished at that time. And me and this kid, Albie, were at war. Like, I kept hearing, Albie wants to give you a hard time and shit. So I told my stepdad one day. I go, Dad, this is what's going on. Those people, that girl. And he goes, fuck them. Don't worry about it, right? So one day, me and my dad, and that's the first vision I got when I went in front of the house. I had to shoot. And I was explaining to people about the house. And we had like a little garden in the front and the stairs. And my dad would never hide guns in the house. He would always hide them around. Like if he came here to visit you, he would come a day early and put a gun outside. Just in case something happened. Like he was one of those
hiding gun in the shack.
He's a bad motherfucker. So this guy used to hide all the guns in his, you know, like up the block and in his fucking plants, under the plants. But he had a gun hidden. No, I never knew this growing up. I would mow that lawn. That's how good of a hider he was. He was brilliant.
You'd mow that lawn. He had guns tucked away.
Guns tucked under the fucking lawn. I couldn't even see him. Wow. So one day we're out there with the fucking lawn. He's out there all spicked up with his white t-shirt and his big gold chain and white shorts and white shoes. And I'm out there mowing, sweating. And he wouldn't even do the lawn bag. He would make me open the bag like this and he would pour the fucking shit in, you know, like to torment me. So I see the white Corvette pull up and it's Albie and his father. And I'm like, Dad, this is the fucking guy that was busting my balls about the New Yorker, you know? And he came out, I'll never forget that. My dad just looked at him, walked into the garden, came out with the fucking .45, and he didn't even point it at him. And there were people outside barbecuing, people out there playing, talking. Nobody seen the gun. He just had it in his side, and he went, what's up? They looked at him, they walked 3 steps backward, didn't even turn to him. They got back in that Corvette, and I never seen that motherfucker again. I seen him in '93 at a Super Bowl party.
How many different times have you seen people pull guns?
15.
How many shoot?
3, 4.
3 or 4. Wow.
It's a fucked up feeling when you see a gun pull out because even if it's not pointed at you, dog, you think that's it. That's the end of the party.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. That's the end of the party because it's not the guy with the gun. It's the people that charge him and how easy a trigger is half the time. You see, dog, I hear gun. Unless the dude standing in front of him got something to do with me, you never see these fat little legs move that fast.
You ever see those videos online where dudes are brawling in a hip-hop party and then someone just yells, gun! boom, and then boom. It just scatter, and you hear the gunshots, and you see the flash,
white towels everywhere.
I got nothing against shooting somebody if they're the person that it's unnecessary people that go down, and that's what kills me. A kid playing on the street, you want to shoot somebody, go in their fucking house and shoot them. If that's what you think, wait for 911 and do what you need to do. I ain't mad at you. It's the people that fucking... Hey, dog, in life sometimes people, you know, people lose their fucking mind. I knew a kid one time that some guy on the street hit his kid in New Orleans. He went in his house, got a gun, and shot the motherfucker and waited for the cops. What are you going to do? There's people that feel that way about life. You know, in the South, that's why I love the fucking South. That's why I love it. Did you see that thing with BJ Penn and Matt Hughes? He was shooting a 50mm Smith & Wesson. If I could have a 50mm Smith & Wesson in my fucking car, I'd walk around with my dick out.
In the South, though. He lives in Illinois.
That's the South. As good as that. That's Illinois. Listen, Chicago is Chicago.
Fuck.
Chicago is Chicago. Right. Illinois is rural as fuck.
Yeah, it's country.
It's country. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's country. So, it's still kind of the South. It has that flavor.
Do you know who has a 50 caliber gun?
Who?
Anthony from Opie and Anthony, he's got a 50 caliber fucking gun that he has to go to specific places to shoot because you can't shoot it in most places.
No.
But the round is like your fucking fist, man. It's goddamn cannonball.
You're crazy. You don't need that, but you do need it. You don't need it, but you do need it, just in case shit goes down.
Knowing that you could get one of those
and just shoot knowing.
A person with that, holy fuck.
That's our fucking right to bear arms. It's the fucking people who ruined it. Yeah. I believe in that right. I love Colorado. The make my day law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here talking to Brian here at my window. Shh. Once I see that leg coming through the window, watch this. Boom. And I call 911. What happened? You didn't have a chance to pull. Why would I? It's a make my day law. I'm inviting motherfuckers. I'll put a purse in the window. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. That's a make my day law, like bitch. A
carrot.
Yeah, you know.
You should have the right to protect yourself.
You have the right to fucking bear arms this country.
You hear that what's going on with the ATF now, that they're trying to pee people with medical marijuana licenses. You're not allowed to buy new guns anymore.
That's why you quit, right?
Yes. Yeah, I got so many messages. Quit weed? The fuck?
You got pro and con for that. Again, I got an argument I don't for that. I don't have an argument at all.
There's no argument.
I've never wanted
criminals. They're just trying to slowly choke out medical marijuana. Yes. And the only reason they're trying to do it is because of the fucking pharmaceutical companies. Those cunts. You know, this is not a representative government anymore. They represent pharmaceutical companies and giant corporations. That's who they represent. They don't represent the people anymore. And people have inalienable rights. And one of them is the right to bear arms. And a lot of people associate that with right-wing wackos and this and that. And you know what? That's a lot of it is because you never had your ass kicked, okay? You never met crazy people. You don't respect the idea of hunting, you know, for whatever reason. All those reasons are invalid, okay? Because I know a lot of crazy motherfuckers, and you would want to have a gun. If you knew some of the people that I knew and I've met, you'd want to have a gun. And if you knew some of the people that you met, you'd want to have a fucking gun. There's nothing wrong with... You can't fix the whole world all at once. And until that, you got to be able to defend yourself.
Handguns were made for killing. They ain't no good for nothing else. Dun, dun, dun. And if you like to drink your whiskey, you might even shoot yourself. Good googly moogly. And again, the guy says it. If you drink whiskey, when was the last time you smoked a joint and said, you know what?
Yeah.
I feel like shooting Brian today.
Yeah,
that would only happen if you drank tequila and shit like that, or whiskey. Not Brian. I had
this argument. They said that I'm wrong about the tequila.
Get the fuck out of here.
Was it on this podcast? Yeah, I was talking about how tequila makes me evil and angry.
It's a different... it's a stimulant. You know, that's the thing with tequila.
Well, some people don't believe. Yeah. Some people have this feeling that alcohol is alcohol. I think that there's different effects. For me, when I drink wine, I have like a more relaxed sort of a feeling. Wine relaxes me. It might be horseshit. It might be my head. Because it's not that strong of a difference. When I drink tequila or I drink Jack Daniels, I get fired up. You see me. When we do Jack shots before a show, I'm like, God damn! Ah! I don't get like that when I drink a glass of wine. I drink a glass of wine. I don't get where I want to fucking just grab somebody and hug them and squeeze them. Like, ah, come here, you motherfucker. You know, but you have a shot of Jack. You want to. You want to squeeze people.
Sometimes too hard. I mean, for tequila, for me, I get evil and
do you?
Dark. And it forget, like, black out very fast.
Really? You black out and say creepy shit that
tequila,
you don't remember?
Tequila nights are the worst nights ever. That's why I'm scared.
Didn't you get some sort of an argument recently with your girl? Were you drunk when you had that?
No.
Just natural. Yeah. Hey, did you see these, to change the subject, did you see these photos of the heads on Easter Island? They have bodies. They're just look at this
underneath.
Check this out, Joey. They're just digging these things out. Yeah, look at this.
Whoa.
They always thought the heads were incredible because it's
this
like
whole time this, they didn't go deeper.
No, they're just starting to do it now. What's look Easter at this. Island? Easter Island is this crazy island that has these huge statues that they don't know how the fuck they cut these things and how the fuck they move these things into place because they're enormous and they must weigh an incredible amount. Well, now they found that they're way bigger than they thought, right, and they go deep, deep, deep underground.
Are you sure this is not a movie viral video?
No, this is real shit, dude.
Because don't you think the first thing they would do is like, wait a second, this goes deeper down. You know, why would they ever, like, there's somebody that has to trim the hedges, and he's probably like, do you know this goes deeper, like, immediately.
Well, you know, I don't think they bothered. I don't think they bothered digging in
so
to
ridiculous.
Check it out. Because they look like, you know, they look pretty cool, but they looked like that was the statue. And I guess they just started
that's ridiculous.
Digging deep below them. But they have petroglyphs
it
on
seems
them,
like there's
too,
a lot of
marked.
Very dumb islanders
well,
somewhere.
Look at this. Look where, when this is really cool. You see this photo? Look at the hands. See the thumbs? See the two thumbs and the fingers? And they have petroglyphs on them where you could see some of the stuff that's written on them. It's not just one site either that's detailing. This is several sites. Some of them more and more detailed. It's pretty interesting stuff. This is another ancient civilization. They don't know who the fuck built these things. They're going to be finding our shit someday.
Is it on legit websites? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's on all sorts of websites. It's on a bunch of different websites. This is a legit archaeological discovery. I'm pretty sure. Well, I mean, it's a private research company. I don't know.
Joey Diaz, I saw your podcast recently. You had an animated part on your podcast. I thought it was brilliant. They took one of, like, a small skit on your podcast, and somebody animated, and it looks really good.
Looks
I was
really
happy
Felicia
with it.
Felicia did a great fucking job with it. Really funny.
Felicia's a tiger, right? Like, she set that up, that cartoon.
Yeah, she set it all up.
She's interesting.
Felicia's really good at that stuff. That's what she her specialty is.
Hey, we need to get her on the podcast.
Yeah.
I called her today. She didn't answer twice. I called her twice to see what she was doing and see what she was cracking.
She's probably getting
I wanted
her
to come to Porn Star Karaoke with me last
week. She's coming this week.
This week?
Yeah, all you have to do is call her up because she didn't have a babysitter last week. She couldn't get the girl two nights in a row. So she's definitely going with you. She spoke about it on the podcast.
Cool.
I told her, yeah, she's a really neat girl, man.
Yeah, we'll have her on next time you come on.
Yeah, she's
you.
A great fucking
That'd be
lady,
great.
Man. I'm really happy to have her in my life. She makes me laugh because she's so sweet to my fucking assholishness. Like, when she tells me her real views.
She's sweet,
there.
But she's real, you know?
Yeah.
She's
yes.
super honest about everything, about sex, about... She was talking about how she picked up this guy, and his dick was like two Red Bull cans
taped
together.
You should have seen the guy. If you see the guy, you will die.
I believe it,
man. No. You should have seen the guy.
Nerdy guy, right?
The nerdiest. That's glasses, hilarious. Little hat on. He was scared. He didn't really want to say much. He goes, well, that motherfucker took me home. He became an animal. He was trying to put fingers up my ass. And then
whoa.
She said she couldn't fit her mouth over his cock.
God damn.
That she goes, Joey, I got a big fucking mouth. And his cock was so... I mean, she just said it right out. She just told me right out. She goes, you got to sit down. I got to tell you something. I thought she was going to tell me about the podcast. She goes, you see that guy I was with the other day? That guy had the biggest dick I ever saw in my life.
So good.
Fucking hilarious. And she was telling me that.
Yeah, so they animated it. She animated it. The story of fucking that guy.
Was that the same guy? That's her boyfriend.
That's hilarious. So this is Halloween, and this is an appropriate story because this is shows you how out of touch these fucking bankers are with people. Have you seen this story where the top U.S. foreclosure law firm threw a Halloween party where the staff dressed up as foreclosed upon Americans? The staff dressed up on people who lost their home. That's
Are you
how
serious?
They dressed up. Yeah, look at these photos. Look at this. This was their fucking party. We'll work for food. He thinks it's hilarious.
It's a big fucking
they're
joke.
Lawyers. They put fake dirt on their face. They pretend to be winos. The whole staff dressed up as this. Look at this shit.
Wow.
Third party squatter. I lost my home and I was never served. Ha ha. I think that's funny. How fucking out of touch are they? What kind of... bad karma must you have just taking people's houses away, kicking people's houses left and right, left and right, left and right. Crazy.
You know, I was thinking about what you said. We were talking over the weekend about the pharmaceutical prices. I finally figure out why they're so fucking high. Because they got to kick back.
Oh, yeah. That's a big
part. Between the doctors, the politicians. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're paying a lot of people.
If you go to a doctor and all of a sudden he says to you after 3 years, hey, you're not going to take that medication no more. I got a better medication. And he starts filling it out and it's cheap.
Well, they
got
to pay for research and development, too. There's a lot of money involved in creating pharmaceutical drugs, too.
That's amazing how much money I pay for fucking pharmaceuticals every year. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you're right. That's because they got to kick back.
Kick back like a motherfucker. You know, the doctor who writes the most prescriptions of a thing gets like a cruise at the end of the fucking year. They take care of you, dog.
Well, they also take the whole staff out.
Yeah.
Mrs. Rogan's mom's a nurse, and they take her whole staff out. They encourage you to use, you know, Wellbutrin or whatever the fuck they're pushing.
Right, yeah.
And then they'll take the whole staff to like a nice dinner that they can't afford, or a nice steakhouse and shit. And, you know, it's the whole system. The whole situation is fucked. It's completely ridiculous. And the fact, and this is the number one reason why pot's illegal. The number one reason. There's a lot of money that they're throwing at all these goddamn politicians to keep pot illegal. Can't stop it, though. At this point, I don't believe you can stop it. I believe at this point, the well has been broken.
Is this shit going to go down in L.A.? What are you hearing, Brian? No,
I don't think it will. I think people will get so angry. You think about this Occupy Wall Street shit and Occupy L.A. and Occupy everywhere. They're occupying fucking Tulsa, Oklahoma now. They're occupying everywhere.
Occupy Olive Garden.
Occupy Olive Garden. He has to go every fucking podcast and say Olive Garden. It's like his little joke. He thinks he's cute. Anyway, it's... When you see how fucked up the world is and you find out that they're wasting their resources going after pot, people are just going to get even more angry. They have to be careful. At this stage, the way people are so angry and people are, you know, protesting so much and there's so much tension in the streets now, there's so much of an organized group of protesters now. They have to be real careful about how much they try to take away, because the more they do, the more it becomes more and more crazy and more people join the cause. This ain't going to get going away. This ain't going to be going away anytime soon. The shit's only going to get bigger. Weird. You know, it's like you wonder, what is exactly going to happen? You know, what is going to happen with the world? Because it's going in a right now, things are going in the craziest direction that they've ever gone. The biggest, the most amount of change, the most amount of fear, the most amount of like people that are upset, and the most technological discoveries, the most amount of technological progress, and the craziest things. Like, they have this new fucking laser that they're creating. Have you read about this? World's most powerful, this is the headline, powerful laser to tear apart the vacuum of space. A laser powerful enough to tear apart the fabric of space could be built in Britain as a major part of a major new scientific project that aims to answer some of the most fundamental questions about the universe. So some fucking crazy-ass super powerful laser. Then what does that even mean? It's going to tear apart the fabric of space? You know, what the fuck does that mean?
Mild headaches?
I mean, what are they doing? What the fuck? What is this? I mean, what's going to get there first? Is it going to be people decide to blow up the earth because they're fucking mad that the banker stole all the money? Or is it going to be some asshole pulls a switch on this laser that, you know, that tears apart the fabric of the universe, and the whole universe becomes like a balloon with a hole in it and spins around in a circle and fucking collapses in itself? What is going on, man? Every day there's something new. Every day there's something
more. Every day we're hustling. Listen, bro, every day I wake up, and my feet hit, and I give thanks that a fucking another day woke up. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's getting scary out there.
It is, right?
It's fucking scary. And I didn't know until I went to Houston. Houston, from the last time I went down and this time, even when I went down there 3 years ago, the oil was still booming and shit. Oil is still booming.
Well, what did you notice that was a difference? A
couple empty fucking stores. Yeah. You know, it was. When I seen that, that was when I go, ooh. Places that I went to in Houston that are now closed, couple more than usual. More than usual.
What I think is crazy is that Brendan Walsh, we did that podcast with him the other day, and the other two comics that he had on, they were talking, and like three out of four of us had been robbed by gunpoint. And we're like, and I'm like, that's crazy.
In L.A.?
All of them were in L.A. except Brendan.
Wow. He got robbed in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio.
I know that that's the next move. I know that burglaries are going to go up. That's the next move. Of
course. Once they have to.
Unemployment, that's the next fucking move.
Yeah, they have to. It's like, that's what happens. You know, people start robbing people because they're broke and they're fucking scared. They need something. Fuck.
That's amazing. People getting robbed and stuff at gunpoint. I mean, that's it. That's why you got to have a fucking piece in your house at night. Because it's like anything else.
A horse and a sword. That's what I want.
A horse and a sword. Yeah. You wouldn't even be able to carry a sword, and if you rode a horse, you'd get scared.
You'd fucking fall off like I do. I just jump off a fucking horse. I'm so scared of them.
Yeah, I got bucked off a horse last time by squeezing too hard. I guess if you squeeze too hard when you're on there. And
they get scared.
Yeah, but I was scared because I was a kid, and I squeezed too hard, bucked right off. And then that same day, my sister touched an electric fence, and she was like 7. And I was like, I think we should stop going to farms.
Your sister touched an electric fence, yeah. And she was 7?
Yeah, and she shot back.
Holy fuck.
It was a bad day at the farm.
How did that not kill her?
Because they're not that strong. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, it will shock
it's
you.
It's shit, but nothing. Yeah.
You've touched one, Joey?
I've touched something similar where they'd shock you with shit. Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah, it's definitely wakes you up.
Yeah, that's scary as fuck, dude. An electric fence and a what, 6? How old was she?
It's like 7.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You would think that would kill a kid. Electric fences are nuts. Stay off my land.
Well, it's mostly for animals.
Touch the fence, I'm going to fucking kill you. Is it mostly for animals?
For the farms, yeah. So, like, animals won't sneak in or sneak out.
Really?
They get kind of trained
to avoid it?
To avoid it, yeah.
That makes sense. I guess. You want to keep your fucking animals. I love how some people, like especially Texas, this is real common. They have what's called a high fence compound, and they have all their animals, like wild animals, on this compound, and they just run around shooting them all year round. Shoot them whenever. Like Ted Nugent has a spot like that. He had a spot like that in Michigan, and now he's got a spot like that in Texas. I love it. He lives on this fucking giant piece of property. He's got like 1,000 acres, and he's got all these fucking animals running around his property. So he gets in his fucking four-wheel drive, goes out to a spot, waits in a tree, sees a deer walk by, shoots a hole in it, takes it home and eats it. That's fucking beautiful. Fuck a supermarket, you know? Fuck a supermarket when you got your own ecosystem in your backyard. That's the shit, dude. If you could have a spot like that where you got your own lake in the backyard and your own, like, hunting spot, how cool would that be? Would you not love that?
Why? It doesn't look for me. I can't kill a fucking animal even if I wanted to.
You couldn't kill an animal.
No.
But you love a good steak.
Listen, I know the end of the world is coming. Just don't tell me.
Listen, you couldn't kill cows, or you couldn't kill cats, and you couldn't kill dogs, but you couldn't kill a cow?
Dog. I need that in my
life. Did you hear about that guy that lived off...
I need that in my life to look at an animal on the floor.
Yeah.
At any level.
It's unfortunate, but that's how they have to die. That's the only way. I mean, it's not like they're going to live forever if you don't do that.
No, and it's the ecosystem is the way to live. I've been with people when they shot a deer... elk and to drag them. You know what? That's great, man. I got nothing against you. I can't do it.
You can't do it.
I can't see it.
Really? I don't think I'd have any problem doing it.
I tell people, when I'm driving down the street and I see a bag on the road from a mile away, I crink up.
Thinking it's a puppy or something like that?
Yeah.
Those are the stories that drive me the most fucking nuts when you hear about someone throwing a puppy out of a car.
Man, I fucking crinkle up. Jesus Christ. All that shit tinkles me the fuck up. You know, I mean, horses.
Yeah.
You know, I'm scared of horses. I don't want to hear about you shooting a fucking horse. Yeah. I want to fucking see it. The most disturbing thing ever to me was when I watched that thing on 20 HBO Sports when they were doing a dog fight. And the guy goes, you know what? The dog's a piece of shit or whatever. You got to put them on. And they walked him into the weeds, and you heard, bah! And he walked back giggling. That, I had to turn it off. I was ready to fucking puke, man.
It's horrible.
Did you hear about that guy that lived off roadkill for 30 years from the UK? 44-year-old guy lived only off roadkill for 30 years. And he would cook like badger soup, raccoon stew. Like whatever he can find every day is what he ate off of roadkill.
Did you get an article on this guy?
Yeah, it's on CNN, Huffington Post.
That's all he ate was roadkill.
Yeah, his name is Jonathan McCohen.
Really? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So he just took it into his house, boiled it?
Yep. Rats, mice, foxes, owls, pigeons, moles, snakes, peasants. Yep.
He ate roadkill for 30 years. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there's like a picture of him or a video of him on CNN, and the back of his car, he has like this little Saturn with this deer hanging out of the back of his car that he found on the side of the road.
Well, I know that a lot of people will find a deer that got hit by a car and they'll shoot that, or they'll cook that. They'll take a deer that got hit by a car and they'll gut it and take it home because, you know, that is, as long as you know when that thing got hit, you know, long as you can go to it and it hasn't been sitting in the sun for a couple days.
Now, what's the deal with it when you go hunting in Colorado? Because this is where I got everything, all the knowledge I got about hunting was in Colorado, and people say that when you come up on a deer, if you shock him, he releases that thing and the meat's tougher. Like, I don't know what the breakdown was. If you
say that again,
okay, they would say that if the deer got he died a weird death or something.
Like if Let's he got say, lung shot and he had a run and yeah, and he didn't released, die quick.
Oh, he released testosterone. Yeah. The meat gets hard.
It's adrenaline.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And then if you shoot him with a bow and arrow, because I had friends that were bow and arrow. They were dangerous people. They were bow and arrow guys. Those are some dangerous. Those are the most dangerous people I've met. Those motherfuckers are dangerous.
Why is that?
Because they can shoot you with a bow and arrow. Like they can shoot you with a piece. They show up with a bow and arrow first. The piece is second. Yeah. The piece is second. So if they don't get you at 30 yards, they're going to get you at 50.
So does that supposedly make the meat taste less good, the bow and arrow?
You know what? I don't want my I don't want the listeners to get pissed at me. I don't know the exact specifics. Somebody from the South or somebody who knows what's going on. Where's Matt Hughes? If you're fucking listening.
I guarantee you there's a bunch of people on Twitter that know about hunting with bows and arrows.
You know, I love Boulder. I love Boulder. And you love Boulder. You love the people of Boulder.
Loved it.
I lived in Boulder in 85, and I moved up to the hill. I don't even think I told you about these stories. And I met these guys up on the hill that were Vietnam vets. They sold weed or whatever. And, you know, some of them were hippies and some of them were guys that looked like us, you know, straight up. And I became friends with one of the guys. Name was Ed. And we would go to Vietnam. You know, we became friends. I was lonely out there. I was 85. I was 21. And I would go with him to the vet center and get his meds. And, you know, and then after a while, he introduced me to another vet. And I would meet them. And you know how when I had a problem with my ex-wife and her husband, you know, these were my friends. Just because they were crazy or whatever they had gone through, I respected them, bro. They went over there at fucking 16. You know what I'm saying? They were there till 24. Bodies. They would tell me the stories. And these guys were living in hell. I knew it, but I couldn't turn my back on them. They were my friends, you know?
Right.
And it's funny. Oh, you used to encourage me, Joey, you got to get healthy. These guys were encouraging me to kill this motherfucker. You understand me? You know, like when you see somebody and go, Joey, man, you look like, they were like, dog, did you think about what I told you? Like, I couldn't shake him.
Right.
That one guy, not Ed, but his partner, that guy specialized. He used to show me. After we meditate, I'd take him up to the fucking, the one canyon, I'm sorry with the words.
Sunshine?
One of those canyons. And this motherfucker, one of those fucking canyons, and this motherfucker was hitting targets with a bow and arrow that you would dream about even seeing.
Really?
And he would tell me, dog, whenever you want to kill this motherfucker. But he told me, I go, well, how are you going to kill him? I don't know nothing about no bow and arrows. He's like, you're going to have to kill him. I go, I don't want to kill him with no gun. He goes, in Boulder, we don't need guns. That's what I told you. He goes, we'll take him up to the mountains. We'll slice his fucking thigh. And we'll rub him down with maple syrup and peanut butter. In 2 days, a bear, they'll only find the elbow because the bears don't eat the elbow joint. And maybe a tooth if he's sick of eating. These guys were serious. And every time I'd see them, they're like, dog, did you think about that motherfucker right now? He's fucking your ex-wife. Right now, he's hugging your door. I mean, they were like,
whoa.
And I love these guys because they were right. They were like, you know, these guys were by the book, but they were Vietnam vets. They were, you know.
So they didn't want you to kill them. They wanted you to let them bleed out.
Oh, these motherfuckers were. But that one guy, Joe, when you seen this guy with an arrow, your heart would, you're like, this is a dangerous guy. This was Army trained, Green Beret, Army fucking hand to hand. He was a Rambo. He was a modern day. When they got hot, that's who they let out of a helicopter. He was missing two fingers, you know. The back of his calf got blown up, you know, the whole fucking deal. But his face was still intact.
We're getting a lot of those guys back now. We're getting a lot of those guys now from Iraq and Afghanistan. I've been meeting a lot of those guys after shows, man. A lot of guys that are limping on canes and shit. A dude the other day at the Ontario Improv showed me this giant hole that was taken out of his leg. Holy fuck, man.
You imagine that? You imagine how lucky we are, man? Yeah. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about it this morning.
What he's a podcast mistake. Fan, by the way. That dude, whatever your name is.
Fucking mistake I made, dog.
You bad motherfucker.
That was one of my mistakes, not joining the service.
Really? One of your mistakes? Look at you. You turned out Joey Diaz. You wouldn't have turned out Joey Diaz if you went to the service.
You'd
have been disciplined.
I would have been a 40-year-old Joey Diaz with a nice pension. I would have learned how to blow fucking people up. I would have had a passport instead of not having a fucking passport. I would have been in Japan.
Does it bother you, the passport thing?
Fuck yeah, I would have been in Japan right now.
I'm going to England this weekend with Duncan.
With a piece of sushi up my asshole.
What?
En route to go stab somebody. Like, if I knew I had to blow 9 motherfuckers up like Man on Fire, I'd go for the last bathhouse of the fucking year. 20 chicks licking my toes, my asshole.
Yeah, you'd also have 7 Vietnamese kids, too.
Who gives a fuck? I'm going to kill somebody. You understand me? They dropped me out of a fucking helicopter.
You would want to do that? What are you talking about?
You know why I didn't go to the service, bro? Because I didn't want to take the blood test.
You didn't want to take
the blood test? Like, I did the paperwork and everything.
How come you don't want to take the blood test?
Are you fucking kidding me? At that age, I wouldn't even allow you to fucking touch me with a needle.
Really?
Yeah. Once I had no supervision, I didn't go back to the doctor until I was 30-something, dog.
Really?
Yeah. I did all my own dental work. I did everything.
What?
I used to always cheat. I cheat. I ripped out with a fucking wrench with Jack Daniels or Dewars.
What?
I don't like needles, dog. I just
wait a minute.
You didn't know about that?
Hold that's why I went to update.
Why do you Jesus think I went back Christ to acupuncture? To I want to eliminate. I want to. Why do you think I started going to acupuncture? Because I want to eliminate my fear of needles. I was telling you that I'm gonna have to go for a cortisone shot. I
told so you my were wife, getting you had cavities because you weren't brushing your teeth.
No, I wouldn't. I never had. I always brush my teeth.
So why did you? Everybody have to pull gets your cavities out
because I wouldn't go to the dentist. I just let the cavity go because I wouldn't want to go to the dentist because of my fear for needles.
Ooh, so you pulled it out with a plier and
dog, Jack Daniels? I didn't get a blood test from the time I was 14. Jesus. To maybe to
can you imagine sitting there with a pair of pliers pulling your fucking teeth out?
To the time I was 4, I walked around for a year with an abscess. The tooth was missing, and I'd go up to people I hated at the comedy store, and it would swell, and I'd press it, and it'd shoot out at people I hated at the comedy store.
Oh. You know, you can die from that shit.
I walked around for a year, so that's how. God. That's why nobody can drive. You can't drive without a driver's license either.
They go into sometimes dog, it infections that go into your brain.
Listen to me. It got this big, and I went into that Cedar Sinai. And the doctor just opened one mouth and went in his fucking face like the Exorcist.
Oh, my God.
And I never came back. And then, little by little, I became friends with Dr. Waxler. And little by little, he talked me into... You know what the process that goes into when I get a blood test?
What?
There's a process, bitch. This ain't just Joey Diaz whipping up his arm.
What's the process?
It's fucking horror.
A lot of why tears. It's 3 days of horror.
He knows. It's 3 days of horror. When what I know is that, the problem? Oh, it fucking kills me.
It's his what? Snake. My if he was Indiana Jones.
It's I don't like fucking needles. I don't want them by me. And I went for a year to acupuncture. I would faint every 2 times.
Really?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when I'd see her put the fucking needle in my chest. I drop. I hurt my knee because that's I fainted so at acupuncture.
Doesn't do anything.
Nothing. No, there's some people. Me at all.
There was a girl I dated, though. Her dad was a dentist, and her dad would faint when he saw anything bloody. Like, his daughter came back from the beach. They were at the beach, and they got sunburnt. And they get sunburnt to the point where the kid had blisters. She had blisters on her head. Dad sees it, falls down unconscious. Fucking falls down at the beach unconscious. He was a dentist. Wow. He couldn't see anyone get a needle. And her and I were in the movies once, and she was watching him. In the movie, the guy shot himself up with heroin, and she blacked out.
I fainted at Pulp Fiction when she stuck the needle in the guy's
eye. Oh, yeah, that was pretty rough.
I had to put a milk dud in my mouth. I fainted when Joe Daddy Stevenson bought BJ Penn on the couch in my house. I fainted at my house and woke up 2 hours later fucking, it was horrible. I fainted at Pearl. At the Palm, you took me and Ralphie May, and somebody had a bloody towel, and I said, stitch with the bloody towel. That's all I had to see.
Really?
I went down. Thank God there was a doctor next to me. They picked me up a little bit. The U.S. I was embarrassed. I thought they were going to go get you. And they picked me up a little bit, and they gave me water, and I was fucking fine.
What evolutionary reason would there be for you to black out when you see something shocking? What's the cause of that?
And then the best one was when I got locked up and went to prison. I'm in a tube with 80 guys, and they're like, dog, you know that you have to go get a blood test today. And I'm like, that's it. I'm going to fucking get my blood test, wake up with a dick in my ass. It's over. So I fucking thought about it. I didn't talk to nobody. I just worked myself up the way I do before a set. I can't faint, Joe Diaz. You can't faint. You're Coco. You're from North Bergen. Get your shit together. They didn't even let you lay down. I had to go in one of those school chairs.
You stood up. Sat down? You sat know, down.
With the chair,
right?
With the school chair. Yeah. With the thing. And I looked the other way. Boom. I went into the tube. All these black dudes. What up? What up? What up? What up? I didn't faint. I was like, fuck, I evolved. I go, man, I put my arm down. I picked up the cotton ball, the little red dot. Boom! Down like a bad fucking habit, dog. I went to the dentist with Terry 3 years ago to get a fucking root canal. All of a sudden you hear, Terry's like, that's my husband. You see him coming with the oxygen and shit. I didn't even see the needle. I just tasted the blood.
And you blacked out.
Here's the deal.
So why aren't you like periods? When girls are on periods, it doesn't
matter.
That's the biggest open wound ever.
Listen to me. When I was 16, I took Helene Keller home one night. I was desperate.
Helen Keller?
Cute girl. She sucked my dick at a picnic when we were like 16. I was in love. I took her home one night. I took her panties off. She had a Kotex on. And I went like this. You know like when a tongue comes out when you go to a haunted house?
Right.
When I pulled the panties off, the Kotex was on it. And I seen this thing with that line of blood, and I fainted. She woke up. She woke me up a little while later.
And
I was like, what happened? That's the time they had. They went into a first aid kit. You know those chlorine things? She put one in each nostril.
Oh.
I had one in each nostril.
She went into a fucking first aid kit?
A first aid kit.
Because of a... oh, my God.
I fainted. She put one in each fucking nostril. I was telling these guys a story the other day when I was in Seattle one time, and the stripper, I was with her at the beach at this little lake, and I was working her monkey with a wine cooler. Right, and I'm working her mind. She's going for it. The hips are moving, and I got that bottle of wine cooler up her pussy. And I'm working it with the mind, and I'm working that little monkey, and I'm getting all excited. And when you see a bottle in a chick's pussy, I don't care, even if you're a Catholic, even if you're a Christian, your dick's gonna get hard. That's a complete different animal. Yeah. And I'm just working the clit with the bottle. The suction got a hold of the pussy, and all of a sudden the period came out of it. Shot in the bottle like a string. And I thought I had cut her. So I dropped. I dropped, Jack. And let me tell you something. That's two times I fucked with women. That was the one time, and that girl when I was 16. Never again. When a woman says that's her area, I don't even look.
Really?
That, yeah, store is closed. Don't worry about it. I don't even
look. So no periods?
No. I don't even
see, I've grown the older I get, the more I don't care anymore.
No.
I used to be the same way. Now I don't give a shit.
No, 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 no. That's disgusting, dog. I don't want to
pick clots up from my teeth.
I picked up a chick in Boston one time. I started, I had real 93. I took it back to the wholesale, started nailing. I fucking turned the lights on. There was blood everywhere. I went down, and she was a soldier. She was home on leave. This bitch was stabbed. I'm like, bitch, let's go into combat zone.
Here, you mother. Fell asleep? You blacked out?
I blacked the fuck out, though. I always blacked. And here's the weirdest thing. Like, if I could be next to you, and you could fight somebody, and you could bleed a little bit, and I could see gross shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's as soon as I see a little bit of blood on my shirt or something. Wow. That thing with BJ Penn, Daddy Stevenson. That when was I a see bad puddles. Cut. The other day I had to turn the TV off when Nate Marquardt hit Chael Sonnen with an upward elbow at one point. You could see the blood dropping from Chael Sonnen's. I can't see that. Wow. That's the shit that kills me. Like that night I took the ass at the UFC, I'm like, please, Lord. Don't let nobody get beat up bad tonight. Because they'll rip me out of here with a fucking sky ambulance. After I took it, I remembered. I go, oh, no.
It's crazy you could put your finger in a girl's asshole, pull out aluminum foil, and stick your dick back in there, no problem. But there's any period blood. Yeah.
But if I would have pulled the aluminum foil out of her ass and a little blood came out, I would have dropped right there. They would have had to fucking wake me up with the aluminum in my fingers.
And that also explains why he always gets his steaks well done.
Yeah, I don't like
nothing. Oh, yeah, you get your steak well done, huh?
Nothing like that. Well, I just don't like the taste of blood on my dish. When I was a kid, my mom ate her dish more or less done than you.
You're out of the vampire
club. You know how Cubans call it? Huerta, huerta.
What's that?
You know what that means?
What?
Psst. Psst. Done.
Huerta, huerta. What does the word mean?
Turn, turn. Huerta means spin.
Turn, turn.
That's it. Huerta, huerta.
So just braise it on the outside. Braise it.
Yeah. 2 minutes. Really? Done. Pink, red, disgusting.
I mean, wow.
Like what they call now. What do they call it now? You pay like $80 for it. Not sashimi. But
oh, yeah. Tartare.
Tartare, yeah. Fuck, my mother ate tartare.
That shit, by the way, don't go to a bad place to get it. That's easily one of the most easiest way to get food poisoning.
Oh, shit. Shit.
I got it the other day from eating it.
You got
food poisoning? Did you eat tartare?
Tartare from eating tartare.
How do you know you got it from that, though?
Because immediately me and my girlfriend got sick like 2 hours.
Where did you eat steak tartare?
I forget the name of it. Firefly.
You know, you're fucking from Ohio. You're not supposed to be eating steak tartare. Don't let me tell you again.
I never heard about it. I didn't even know what it was.
I've had it before.
I've had it.
Doesn't taste that good. Steak tastes good when the outside is cooked. You know, that's when it tastes good. When I like medium rare. That's, to me, is perfect.
That's
the outside
good.
Is
I could do a medium
brown
rare.
And it's good, juicy, and you slice into it. And that's how a steak's supposed to be cooked. You get plenty of rare meat in the middle. But the outside cook is what gives it that fucking delicious flavor. Steak tartare is like very mild. There's like not that much flavor to it. You know, like really rare steak, like a piece of filet mignon, if you cut out the outside of it and just have the red part, it's not that flavorful. You know, the real flavor comes from the outside being cooked and all the fat melting and all that shit. You know, that's where the real flavor of the meat comes in.
Can you imagine Joe Rogan, me as a UFC fighter, beating you up?
And then you get cut and you just black out?
No, if he cuts and I'm on the bottom and he bleeds on me, just a little bit of drop.
Just drop out.
Well, now I know if I ever get in a fight with Joey Diaz, I'm just going to pick my nose really hard until it starts bleeding.
You know what I'm saying?
Just punch yourself in the nose.
How fucking weird is that? It's those little, and I should correct myself, it's those drops. When you watch the UFC, when Stitch has a towel and they throw it to the side, God.
You know what you should do? Punch yourself in the nose and then blow your nose on him. Yeah. That'd be like a mace.
I would just faint and pass out and puke probably.
Listen, I have no problem with blood, and I'd certainly, obviously I don't, otherwise I couldn't be doing what I do, and I have no problem with period blood. That's never bothered
me. Would you eat pussy with period
blood? Fuck yeah, I don't give a shit. Blood. I don't give a fuck.
I had a chick. An
what about a girl swallows your cum and then wants to kiss you?
I don't give a fuck. She swallowed my blood. I'll kiss her.
So it doesn't matter, even if it's been on your body for like 3 seconds.
I don't care.
So wait a second.
Once my dick is hard, I'm crazy, man.
Let's go back to this because I've never done this, so I got to ask you guys questions. Okay, so a girl once in Miami told me to lick a clit. When I pulled it off, I seen the little fuse. And I put the pants back on. Yeah. Right. She goes, no, go. It's really different. It's the third day. She goes, it's the third day.
Oh, that's the best day.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, the third day. And I'm like, I don't even know what she was talking about.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Third day of her period. So that the third day means it's probably not as thick, but it's more of an oil-based period blood.
Oil-based.
Oh, God. I might fucking faint just listening to that. Oh, God.
It's like vinaigrette dressing.
It's like that black blood that comes out of you. It's really dark.
It's like when you go to Wood Ranch.
It's in the back of French salad.
Yeah. It's from the stuff in the back in the corner that's now just falling off the walls of the vagina.
What a weird situation. The whole thing just bleeds every 28 days. Yeah. What the hell is
doesn't
that?
Doesn't die.
What a shitty...
Whoa, we got to back this up, guys. Okay. So the third day, you take the underwear off, and they got a cigar sticking out of their pussy, and you eat their pussy when the fuse is sticking out. Let's get back to this.
You pull it out, suck on it, on the side.
Brian, I'll fucking strangle you right now, cocksucker. You're killing me with that shit. Just tell me the truth. I need this knowledge.
No, you take it out.
I've never
done it. I'd lick her pussy. I'd eat her clit.
But do you leave the cigar in?
No, whatever she wanted. I'll pull it out. I'll take it in. I don't give a fuck.
Do you ever work with the cigar?
No, I don't play with it. I don't use it as a sex toy.
Oh, God almighty, I might get sick. Oh, God. Yeah. So, you pop it out, and is it bleeding when you pop it out?
No, it's usually, honestly, it's usually not that bad. If you fuck her, then it starts to come out on your dick a little, but it's not like you take it out and it just blood starts going everywhere. It's more like it's just deep in there.
Now, have you ever tasted monkey
blood? Yeah, it just tastes like coins.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
tastes God. Like coins. Go suck on copper. A quarter.
It tastes very copper-like.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. It's just blood. Bad. What's the difference between blood and pussy? Pussy liquid. You know, it's all liquids. Your saliva. You're swapping spit. You're shooting loads in her
mouth. It's fucking blood. That's the nucleus of the nucleus.
The nucleus of the nucleus.
Hey. That's the whole patois.
The liquid of life. It doesn't bother me.
And what is it like? This girl was telling me that when you fuck her on a period, it's tremendous.
Yeah, they love it. Feels good.
Does it feel good for us,
too? Well, that's why. Yeah,
it's juicier. It's warmer, too. It's more of like a warm juice.
It gets sloppy. Yeah. Sometimes it gets sloppy. Sometimes there's blood everywhere. A goddamn fucking crime scene.
Yeah, so my mom would keep the sheets every year for Halloween that she accidentally spotted on, and that would be the ghost outfit. So, I always look like a ghost that got shot.
Look at Joe Rogan.
He's working his material again, this fuck. This motherfucker wrote that. You can tell when he works material. His lips quiver, and he's like, please get this out good. I just want to make sure I get this out good.
That's not material. That's actually true.
Yeah. And it's material as well.
It would always be like the ghost outfit was like yellow on one side, red on the other side.
Hey, at least you didn't tell me Japanese flag.
Yes, yes.
If you would have said Japanese flag, I would have fucking thrown something at him. Because everybody hates
Japanese
that.
Flag?
Yeah, like it's a white flag with a red dot in the middle. So right. A lot of people say, welcome to my bathroom. My wife was in there. It looked like a Japanese flag. You know?
I've never heard that.
Yeah, you're right.
Steve McGrew does it.
Oh, it's a bit?
It's a joke.
Okay.
But then I've heard other people do it.
Isn't he one of those guys that went to England, became an English comedian? Is he one of those? Steve McGrew? Is that what I'm talking about?
Funny guy. No, Denver guy originally. Denver.
Yeah. A lot of guys do that, though, right? They go to England.
Always missed the boat, Steve McGrew, but he's very funny. He writes a lot. He's the real deal.
Always missed the boat, huh? In what way?
He moved to Houston as Kennison was going to L.A.
He
moved to Denver as blue collar comedy was blowing up. So he's always been. I thought he was always the original guy. I've known Steve when I first got into comedy. Steve was the king of Denver, hands down. Roseanne had left, and Steve was the next big thing. He had the look. They would go see him. They would go see him. They would go watch him. You know, all of Roseanne's people were there. I mean, Roseanne became a big comic out of there. But there were two other people that followed that became huge writers in Hollywood. And
yes.
Big deals at Disney. Created a bunch of shows. A lot of them didn't stick around. I forget what their names are. But that was a great scene back then. And then all the underlings were great writers because that was what... The guy with the hooks is from Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What the hell's his name? One Hook. God damn it. I don't remember his name.
He's a great writer.
Very funny guy,
George
too.
George from Denver. Great writer. You know, it was just so Rick Kearns, great. These guys were great fucking writers, man, you know. But
Denver was a great scene. It's still a great scene. There's not that many scenes, man. There's not that many comedy scenes. And Austin has a scene. San Francisco has a scene. Denver has a nice scene. Boston, I guess, still has a little bit of a scene, but not really.
They're holding on to dear life. Dear life. I feel so bad because it was the
birthplace. One of the best.
Birthplace.
One of the best places of all time. When I was there in the 1980s, I, to this day, say is one of the best comedy club communities in the history of stand-up comedy. It was the late 1980s in Boston. It was a monster scene. It was monstrous.
Here's the deal, that the comics should take over that city.
Yeah.
And try. Just set up.
It's hard. It's hard. They need a leader. You know, they need a whole new movement down there. I guess, you know, there's some guys putting it together. You know, I know... I think they got some new club in Faneuil Hall. Didn't you hear about that? I know Rich Voss was playing at it. Tim McIntyre's club, I believe. There's still talented guys there. There's a few guys, but, man, it's just not what it used to be.
Anything about Patrice O'Neill, anybody?
I haven't heard anything.
Anything online?
Nothing. I just heard it's bad. It's a bad stroke. I don't know any details. And what about Ralphie May?
Is Ralphie just out there? I'm here in the hospital this morning. I heard my prayers go out to him and his family. Yeah. I just heard that he's in ICU in Tampa, and... his wife is there. I was going to call her tonight.
What happened? He had pneumonia?
Pneumonia on his ship.
He was saying on his Twitter that he's been having pneumonia for a long time. Like, every time I looked at his Twitter, it was like, he still has pneumonia? What the fuck?
He was in the infirmary on the ship. So he went on this ship to do comedy with this guy that's a big radio. He's like the Howard Stern of Tampa. Uh-huh. He has that area.
What's the guy's name?
I think Bullhead.
Cowhead.
Yeah. Cowhead's okay. Radio. To do a cruise, I guess he got sick on the cruise.
Cowhead. Wow.
Man Cow? Or Cow?
No.
Cowhead. Is Man Cow still on in Chicago?
Man Cow is not on Chicago anymore, I don't think. I think he was on the internet. He had some sort of internet thing going on now. I don't know what's going on with that guy. I used to follow him on Twitter, but I haven't seen any of his shit in a while.
So they said that he had a blood clot in his leg this morning. That's the last thing they told me about.
How dangerous is it?
You know, like I said, I got it from three horses, so... I got it from messages, so once I get it from her, I don't want to say what's wrong or what's not wrong.
Well, you look at a guy like Patrice, and you know he's obviously physically really big and definitely overweight and not healthy, but Ralphie's bigger than him, you know?
Is Ralphie bigger than him now?
Oh, yeah. Ralphie's bigger
than Patrice. You've seen
Patrice? Patrice never got as big as Ralphie.
Patrice's a big fucking guy. I thought Patrice was a lot taller.
Yeah?
Yeah, Patrice is a lot taller.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's from Boston originally.
Yep.
Well, he has to go to Grill
Bank. Him and Bill Burr, the last wave. They're the last wave of talented guys to leave Boston. I mean, I'm not saying those guys couldn't come out of there right now still and make it, but Patrice and Bill Burr were the last guys that I was hearing about. They were like a little bit after me, you know, after I had left. You know, we're all going to go, Joey. So it's a matter of prolonging this experience and staying as healthy as possible while you're enjoying this experience, but... The way Patrice is going, we're all going to go eventually.
You ready to go? Not yet.
No.
I'm not ready yet.
I have work to do. I have a lot of shit to do here. I'm still not done. And I have kids. And I like them. I like hanging around with them.
You know, that's the only... Like, I know you've always been pretty open about your opinions about space and satellites and all the other stuff. And it's weird, like... As I was growing up, I didn't have time to think of a lot of things, you know? Like, I had my mind focused on how to fucking rock and roll every day.
How to survive.
But there's one thing that's always intrigued me, and that's the day before. You know, what do you feel? The week before, like...
When you know you're going to die.
Yeah, like, you just feel that...
Yeah.
I just want to know that, you know, you always talk about time machines. I see all this technology. I wish I had a time machine for one day. You always heard that. People say, I wish I had 10 years back. I wish I had it for one day, just to be a kid again, just to have that feeling to run around, to see those people. I come right back and probably fucking ice myself or something. That's the only... But I always wondered what happens when you close your eyes. Like, where the fuck do you go?
Oh, wow.
That always intrigues the fuck out of me right
there. Oh, wow, is what Steve Jobs said before. Those are his last words.
Last words. Oh, wow.
That's when the DMT kicked in.
Welcome to the iPhone 4.
It's crazy because it's so weird how the DMT works. You ever hear stories of, like I heard a friend of mine, oh, his mom was going to die. She goes, open the curtains, let me go join my grandfather. You know, and people always say, well, you had a spiritual experience. Duh, that's a DMT, you dumb motherfucker. You've known about these people all your fucking life. You know they're out there, so now that's a DMT taking you.
Well, we know your brain makes the craziest shit that you could take. That's pretty weird. That your own human body makes... the strongest psychedelic drug known to man. Your own body makes it. Like, what purpose is that? What? Why does? Why would your body make that?
Well, it's crazy because somebody
it's a chemical doorway.
Now, somebody was telling me, I think it's rabbits. The rabbits have something naturally that before they get attacked by a hawk or an animal,
quackers,
their body goes into something that puts them in like a euphoric state.
Really?
So they know they're going to go. If they have it, I feel like all animals, and even us, we have to have it in a way.
It's probably part of life. It's probably, you know, one day we'll probably find out that what life is just a brief experience and an infinite number of experiences. That this one type of reality, this one dimension, life, human life as we exist in right now on this planet, in this solar system, is really just a part of an infinite number of different experiences. And that this is just one of them. And the next one might be something completely outside of your body. It might be some crazy dimension of infinite geometric patterns. And then the next one might be something different. It might be a constant cycle. We don't know.
Did you ever feel something? Like, did you think about something and feel something that was strong about you? Did you ever think you were here before? Do you ever think in your mind?
It's possible. It's possible that you live your life over and over and over again. Just as possible as it is to live your life, it's just as possible that you might live the exact same life over and over again. Who knows? We literally might live it over and over again until we get it
right. Did you think you were, like, I always think in the back of my mind, seriously.
Yeah.
Three guys in the fucking room. I'm telling you what I thought I was before this. I think I was a Roman fucking soldier.
Really?
Just something about that time that's always fucking made me weak. Whenever, bro, you know why I don't go to church?
Why?
I like religion. You know, it's something, it's a door. I like when I lived in Boulder, I went to the Naropa Institute. I enjoyed all those readings. I enjoyed the Buddhist religion. It's very interesting. The thing that's always killed me is the 12 stations of the cross. That thing in the church always has killed me.
I don't know what that is.
It's the last steps of Jesus, how he got fucking beat up, and he stopped, right. And Mary Magdalene wiped his face, and they hit him with a stick. And you know, that's always really, I don't know why. That feeling has always made me feel like I could say I was a cowboy in a previous
life. So you really feel like at one point in time you lived in the Roman Empire.
Like a Roman fucking empire. I don't know. Like whenever I hear that word, the Caligula, I don't like it. It means orgy, whatever the fuck it meant in that movie, whatever. But it's like I heard it before. Like when I heard it, it didn't.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that memory is passed down through genetics, and that's why you're afraid of certain things as a kid. Like, you know, like little kids are always scared of monsters. And the reason is that a long time ago, you know, when we were monkeys, people were getting eaten left and right by jaguars. So what are you scared of? You were scared of something in the night that has big teeth. Ah! Why? Because it's cats. You know, and some people would get away from those big cats and survive, and then they would retain those memories, and those memories literally would be transferred from their DNA into the next generation.
You're on fire today.
Makes sense, right?
The same thing goes. I talked to somebody who said, I know why you, and this is, I always thought I was a Roman soldier, but this was where it sealed it. Somebody said to me that thing you have with blood is a mechanism. And I looked it up.
A mechanism.
A mechanism that my body used because my ancestors were warriors, and that was a mechanism they used when people came and slayed them. They would make believe that from the blood they would pass out. It was a reaction when the soldiers thought they were dead. I fucking swear, I forget the name of it. I went and looked it up.
That's hilarious. Many people around you were killed by swords. So you, when you see blood, you just
black the fuck
out. And that's
out.
How a few people would survive.
They would survive. What a fucked up thing for somebody to say to me. I was like,
wow.
Wow. And I went home going, holy fuck, I definitely got to smoke weed by 2 o'clock. Because that was deep and shit. Because I tell people, I always want, dog, you want to overcome your fears. We all do. You know, I hated heights. I became a fucking roofer in college. I don't give a fuck. Give me, you really? Know, the only way
you
to
did come, it on purpose?
Yeah. The only way to fucking be scared of heights is to look at, don't even look at a ladder. What do I got to bring up this ladder? Put that motherfucker on your thing and walk up with one hand. And the thing wasn't walking up. It was getting back on the ladder, off that roof. That's the confidence.
Yeah.
I did that for 18 months. Just to fucking, I'm one of those guys.
Getting on a ladder, from a roof to a ladder is very
You feel when you're not used to it.
Sliding left and right.
Nice to clean Windows. It sucked. I don't know how I ever did. That's how broke I was.
Windows and fucking big skyscrapers, and they have those tables. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. Those fucking guys slowly work their way down the skyscraper. What the fuck? Bro. How scary must that be?
Were you molested by ground?
Steve Burke, one of my good friends, was a window washer at the World Trade Center.
Oh, my God.
And my buddy who's got the cans and dying was the guy who was a supervisor. He ran the crews that, and they had 16 buildings.
My hands are sweating. You're talking about that? My hands just started sweating. Dog. Thinking about being a windshield washer, there window
was,
washer.
And the day and he was an alkie. And the day they got hit, he was at the bar across the street banging it.
Oh, my God.
And it was a, yeah, it was a Monday or a Tuesday. He could, the first time they got banged, it was a Friday. He was across the street banging drinks.
Dude, I'm all nervous.
And the second time he got banged, they got the towers hit. He was still down the Jersey Shore. He, that was his vacation week. Two times.
Wow,
that's incredible.
And he was and he don't say much. I mean, Steve was always the weird one. He's the one that stopped drinking. He was the one that drank every day in the '80s when the Iran captives, the 144 days. He didn't take a shower or drink.
Really?
He would play football with the mud from the summer. It was fucking horrid. But that was his. He was crazy. He was always crazy.
So he did it out of solidarity for the
captives. This is at one point of his life.
Steve. How do they have like windshield washers? They had them all the way up to like the 100th floor.
And well, your job is windows. You know, by the time you get to this one, you got to do that one. So you just go up.
So it's every day.
Yeah,
that's every day because there's so many windows. Up,
and then you know sometimes they send you to the up.
Dog, how long does it take?
Dog, I need to change the scenery. We'll send you to 88th Street. You know what I'm saying? You go to 88th Street, and they probably got like a, you know, a 44 building.
And imagine? You probably don't even get paid that well.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, you do. Your union. $30 and $40 an hour, benefits.
Why don't they just, like,
make something? 35-hour weeks. You know, it ain't bad. I mean, for working fucking stiff with balls, a knucklehead guy from the neighborhood. It's not a bad fucking job. You
think they would have just like self washing windows now? Well, now, like start at the top. There's like water, a hose.
Yeah. Now you would think they would have a. Yeah, you would. You like it would be open a little bit so you could replace the blade, put it back on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that thing. See, but I bet the union probably avoids that. They probably have contracts with the construction unions to make sure that they have the window washers union gets to work. All right. That's the end of this podcast.
Where you going? Trick or treat, motherfucker. Trick or treat.
I'm going to dress up as a pirate. happy Halloween to all you dirty
bitches. Happy Halloween, bitches.
Follow Joey Diaz on Twitter. It's Mad Flavor. Mad Flavor on Twitter. And he also has a podcast on iTunes, Beauty and the Beast, with the aforementioned Felicia Michaels.
Motherfucking Michaels.
And, of course, Red Band is Red Band on Twitter.
On fire.
Joe Rogan on Twitter. Thank you to the
Podcasting Federation of America? Yes. For the number one. We're now number one.
I love to thank
congratulations, brother.
Thank you to Fleshlight.
That's right.
If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight and enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. And like I said, the only one that hasn't used it is Joey. He refuses. But that's
soon. Don't forget NOCC 4854 Lancashire. They got these $5 cookies. I'm fucked up right now. And over here, Divine Inter Wellness, whatever. NOCC, go in there, tell them you see me, and they give you a free fucking cookie. That's how I really? Roam. Yeah.
If you say you saw Joe Diaz, you get a free cookie. Yeah. Where are they at again?
4854 Lancashire.
They get a lot of people going in there for you?
Yeah. I'm going to start meeting people like Thursdays from 4 to 6 there.
It's 4854. What is it again?
4854 Lancashire. I love this fucking place. They take care of me. Yeah, they're great people. Surge, the girl, Vienna.
And what's the name of it again?
NOC. Well, you know I'm fucked up. What's with the questions? I feel like I'm a long
road. People can go there.
NOCC.
Say Joe Diaz sent you. Get yourself a free cookie. That's right, bitches. Thank you to Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, the cognitive enhancement supplement. I take them every day.
A blue one?
You got a 90 stack now.
Oh, shit. Look at that one.
Alpha Brain. And, yeah, that's the alien.
Look at that fucking hole. Holy stuff.
That's the alien
fleshlight. How's that feel?
Especially, they have a bunch of zombie.
No.
They have robot fleshlights now. It looks like you're fucking a cyborg.
Yeah.
I saw that. They're very creative, those fleshlights. They offered Lindsay Lohan $1 million to take a mold of her pussy.
Now, that I would not understand why she wouldn't do that. That seems like the best idea ever.
She should just do it. Probably keep her out of Disney movies for life.
They don't have enough fucking rubber to go that deep in that fucking dead snatch. That's like sticking a fucking pipe in Bremerton. Bremerton, Washington's the deepest point. Can you imagine how deep? I bet you got good, nasty Irish pussy with freckles on it.
Yeah, make it orange with freckles.
A lot of freckles.
And her asshole smells like fucking wine and cigarettes and shit. And Marlboro
turpentine
lights. You just smell that little muffler. You think of the fucking Marlboro man. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever scratched your balls and it was too bad and you had to wake up, go up and like wash them?
I think this podcast is over.
Brian is just
Brian. Now you took it over the top. You went rubber
rocks everywhere.
Lindsay's ass, and you're killing me. Yeah.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. David Tell's supposed to be on tomorrow, but I haven't been in contact with him. Hopefully, we'll deal with him. Shane Smith is unfortunately in New York, so we're still trying to work that out. We'll figure out how to do it. We might try Skype. Can we do a Skype one, Brian?
Yeah, it just sounds like shit.
We'll make it happen, bitches.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Thank you all. Keep it together. Stay black.
Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night. All day.